participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You would have been, you would have been out of your mind. And I mean you, the listeners.
Yes.
You would have hated me more than you've ever hated me. If the show would have started today and Mike would have said, Don's not here because the plane didn't leave Las Vegas.
You had a little tough time getting home, did you?
Yep.
Oh, dear. I've been there.
Yeah, last night.
What's with that airport? I've had problems getting home. Huh?
Great airport.
Or, no, you know what?
McCarran Airport in Las Vegas?
I think we're talking Great Airline.
Well, let's mention them by name, Mike.
Yeah, I see no reason not to.
America West.
I've had three different times when I've had planes canceled on America.
And I'll tell you why. That they said yesterday after we got done waiting, I think we're entering the sixth hour of waiting for the plane to arrive, past the time that the plane was supposed to take off. We're still waiting for the plane to arrive from San Jose.
Yeah.
And they
couldn't find a way.
They announced that if you wanted to send them an email, that you could send them an email to tell them about, you know, that you didn't have a great experience.
Oh, yeah, and that's their big thing. And then they just put those in one giant trash heap. They file
so,
them.
Don't forget how they referred to the plane.
How?
You told me this last night. If you would, it's looking like before too long, the broken plane will arrive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, me
the broken
so,
plane?
Me, hold on. Me so tired. Let me just say, our plane arrived in Baltimore this morning. And incidentally, when you live in the Washington area, always make it BWI. That helps. That's my own fault.
I could have sworn you were flying into Dulles.
Although I was trying to fly into any airport last night.
Right.
The plane, when it arrived at 4:30 this morning, and I was screaming at my wife outside.
Not intended originally to be a red-eye flight that you were going to take.
Oh, no, it was supposed to arrive at 11:01 p.m.
Sure.
Yeah. That's their motto, always a chance of a red-eye.
Sure.
So last night, here's the deal. They get on there and they say, the airplane from San Jose, it's broken. A lady actually gets on, and Rob, I was on the phone with Rob while they're making this announcement.
Confidence instilling.
The plane is broken. So while we're waiting, we're trying now to rebook to get on other flights. And there are no other flights to Washington, D.C. There are no. I mean, we could go to Chicago and get a flight in Chicago, but we would get nothing here that would get us in time for the show today to get me in time for work.
Right.
So I called Mike last night, and I called Rob, and I said, hey.
I said, hey, there's a chance you might not do the show. And I said, oh, no problem.
I would be glad to come in here.
I'm not
going to discuss that.
I was not exactly receptive.
But no, this is not the point of me bringing it. So the point is how absolutely embarrassed I would be. And I was sitting with Frieda last night saying, out of all the airlines, you mean to tell me that this was now 7 o'clock Las Vegas time last night, so it was 10 o'clock East Coast time. There's not a flight that could get us out of this city to any of the three major airports served in Washington, D.C. Well, there are, but there are no seats available on those flights.
It's Vegas, baby.
The good people at America West said, if, in fact, the plane doesn't arrive from San Jose, we can rebook you on the same flight tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful.
I said, well, that's great. That
tomorrow flight, night.
That flight leaves Las Vegas about 4 hours from right now.
Right.
So that would mean that today I would be on the, and now who wouldn't hate me? I would.
Was
hate
that
me.
Originally the airline you booked, or were you on?
Yes,
good friends at United.
No, that was not it, Mike. And I'm sad to say, United no longer a part of my life simply because of Ted. I don't like the fact that United has become Ted.
Well, I think you learned your lesson then, because you should ignore Ted, and they still manage to, I think, have a pretty good record. I mean, there are people that I talk to that have problems with United.
Well,
but America West, we've had, haven't we as a team had problems with America West?
Yeah, I have a problem staying awake because the seats are so comfy.
But they fly direct, and you know, this crap happens. But it was in the airport last night, out of my mind. Mm-hmm. You know, doing the thing where you're sleeping on
the
floor.
You're going to get an ulcer with your turnaround times as far as the show. But you would think with Las Vegas leaving the day before, having roughly what, 16, 17 hours to get back home, that you wouldn't have this ulcerated, but thanks to America West.
Yeah, thank you, America West. And they said, send them an email by saying, why should I? I was on your flight that was supposed to leave yesterday at 3 o'clock, which ended up leaving at 8:30. You bastards. You bastards. You cheap bastard.
Did you fly? Did you have the privilege of flying on the broken plane?
Yeah, and now, I know you will not believe this. And I know that there are people who were on this flight yesterday, the last flight out of Las Vegas to Baltimore, the one that was supposed to arrive at 11 that arrived at 4 a.m., 4:30 a.m.
Ouch.
You tell me. Call in this show today if you were on that flight, because there was something that they were doing with the wing as we were watching, as we were getting ready to board the plane. Oh, I will not tell you. You know what I will do? I will write it down.
Did it involve duct tape?
Was it that guy from the Twilight Zone episode?
Hold on. I want to hear what it is.
Hold on. Buzz. You got
it. Oh, my God.
They were wrapping. I am not kidding. I swear to God.
I'm turning around.
Because
wow.
This
I'm not getting on the plane.
You know, if this is not true, they could sue me for liable. But it's true. They were fixing the wing, some piece of mechanical stuff, some piece of equipment.
Oh, my God.
And one by one, the word started spreading. Oh, look, the mechanics are out there with duct tape. Now, you have the 200 people that have been waiting now for this flight that we've been waiting 6 hours. You know, mm-hmm. It's been 6 hours past the time it's supposed to take off. The plane is finally here, and we're all like, hey, and there comes, look what they're doing to the wing. It's duct tape.
Oh, God.
And it did stop some people from getting on the flight. There were some people that said...
You wouldn't... Boy, I'd get a little nervous.
Screw it.
I'm not supposed to do that.
Screw it. I'm spending a night in Las
Vegas.
Doesn't
sound right.
But I knew that, you know, that wouldn't... That just wouldn't fly, right?
Right.
That's not... You know, pun intended. That you know, you got to be here. You got to show... You got to show up for work. And it's Las Vegas, baby. And so what if we got in at 4:30? I mean, 4:30 in the morning... Hey, even in Dallas, our show's not on at 4:30 in the morning.
No. And what I said to you is when I found out that you went to Baltimore, I said, well, then if you got in at 4:30 and were getting your car, then you had the pleasure of experiencing rush hour, morning rush hour.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you.
And
thank
added,
you,
an added bonus. Oh,
you know who you are today? Today you are the golden boy.
Yeah.
Come in for an overnight flight and still hit rush hour? It doesn't get much better
than
that.
It's lucky. Yeah.
It is lucky.
We should call him lucky.
You're living good. But listen, it was a great weekend in Las Vegas. We were there for an actual time, something like 20 hours, with my brother's wedding, much of which was recorded right here on my wife's Andy Dandy Radio Shack cassette tape.
There is a taped record of it.
There is, but I have so much to tell you, and I want to call my brother. I'm going to have to tell you.
Is he happy? That's the only. Just before you go into the details, is he happy?
Define happy.
Okay. I'm not asking.
I'm kidding.
And I don't want to split hairs, but I've heard the tape. And is that a wedding or a wedding?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, now.
Thank you, Buzz. It's wedding.
Every day until I memorize it.
W-E-D-D-I-N apostrophe. Like, much like Captain Crunch.
Oh, yeah. I'll need that.
Captain Crunch.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Okay. Oh, hi, Julia. All right.
Hey, what they want? Rob, she's in the bathroom.
Oh, man.
Dude, they'll just keep marching.
And there you
go. Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Hello. You notice how excited the boys are today?
Why are they excited today?
Because Alex is back in the back room.
They're happy.
Who?
Alex. El Jefe.
Oh, El Jefe.
And a grand welcome. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. JPS.
Oh,
and all
boy.
The chips at sea. Hey, they've done something even more difficult, Agar. They wrote a book. Dr. Adamo and Mike O'Mara.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Okay, and
hello.
Hello and hi.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. Hi, Don and Mike Show. A new episode of this Monday. 041904.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. April 19, through odd 4. Call us at 1-877-365-3636 from anywhere in America. Canada, 800-636-1067, Washington, D.C. 202-432-1067. So nervous am I today, not only being sleep deprived.
So nervous am I.
But my brother's in-laws are listening to this show for the first time ever.
Oh. Hey, that's very exciting. Where are they listening to us?
I imagine either in Las Vegas.
Because they're all still there, right?
Yeah, they're there. Mm-hmm. But her parents, my brother's wife, Marnie, her parents, they live up in Northern California.
In the Sacramento area.
Well, close enough, Mike.
Very good. Close rain. You must be thrilled.
I am, and it was Jesus. And let me just say, what a weekend. And incidentally, where were you in that airport yesterday? I was calling your name out.
You were invoking his name?
I must have called. I said, hey! If there is a God, please allow this plane to arrive, because if this plane doesn't arrive, I'm going to miss the show tomorrow, and I'm going to be the biggest schmuck in the world. And then, plane arrived. Except guess what? Duct tape on the wing.
When the plane arrived, did they know that it was broken, or?
Yeah, well, no, they had said that there had been a mechanical problem with the plane leaving San Jose. God. That was going to...
They made a broken plane announcement.
And then the lady really got on and said, great news, the broken plane is on its way here.
Jeez.
And then they made the announcement about if you were mad, you could email America West, and that they really wanted to give everybody on the airplane a free sandwich or an apple.
Oh, that's
An apple!
However...
Wow!
However, and, you know, they had to make this announcement over this thing, over the PA thing.
Right, he can't hear.
Do we still have that
the megaphone?
You got it. It's in the other room. Never mind, because it'll be wasted.
He's going to get it now. You know.
I know he's going
to
get it.
He's expending the energy. He's burning the calories to go get it.
But just, the poor guy behind the counter at America West.
He loves the siren.
It is a great siren.
All right, hold on.
So this guy goes,
attention all passengers on flight 776 to Baltimore. Well, as you can see, the plane is here. We should be taking off within the hour. And I know that we had told you that we wanted to offer you some complimentary sandwiches and apples. However, here in America West, the food catering is done by another company. Therefore, our offer of free sandwiches and apples, I am sorry to tell you that the sandwiches are $5.50.
Oh, my God.
And the apples are 1 cent. However, we do have some Diet Pepsis and some bottled water in limited quantity right up here. First come, first serve.
Stampede?
Absolutely. You would have thought the guy said,
we are giving away sticks of gold. Right now, run up here right now.
Oh, man.
Keep in mind, and of course, you have your Taco Bell right around the corner. You have your Burger King. You have your Fox Sports Bar. You got a million places.
You're just steps away from a beverage that would cost you a dollar.
Yeah, right. But anyway, at America West, they care.
Yeah.
They care. I don't know what was going on.
Broken plane.
Here's the thing. This is too much for me to try to digest and spit out to you on a radio show. The emotions going with a cross-country trip with my wife, going to see my brother, who I've not seen... physically seen for 8 years.
Wow.
Marrying a woman who I've...
You haven't seen Jimmy in almost 10 years?
Mm-mm.
Didn't really?
Wow. Right. I mean, you know, we talk, and there have been times that he's driven through this area, and we've not been here. It's just, you know...
Yep.
He's a truck driver. I'm a DJ.
Right.
So the first thing that they called... Oh, hold on. Let me do this chronologically. There was a guy on the plane. Now, this is Saturday morning. Also, America West, no problem with this. I only mention this because maybe the guy's listening to the show, because the flight was out of Baltimore.
Okay.
And I know we got a lot of listeners in Baltimore.
Live 105.
And speaking of that, I am amazed that we have, like, what is it, like a 2 share in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Oh,
did you encounter any of the passionate listeners?
Many, and some of them
people
are on...
People go nuts for the show out there.
Some of them are on this tape that my wife was talking to people.
Excellent.
With. Anyway, so I mentioned this. Maybe somebody on the plane heard the guy. It was a guy, he was sitting behind me and my wife, and he was a single guy, and he was sitting next to a woman. And once the flight started, before we even took off, the flight left very early on Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Takeoff, the guy was nonstop chatting. And I
on the sitting in back you?
Yeah, just talking to this woman next to him. And I said to Frida, I said, you know what, I bet that guy's like Mike. I bet that guy, and Frida is a nervous flyer, she had a drink, so I had a drink, because what the hell?
Right.
Right.
It's a wedding. Well, anyway, hold on a second. I mean, I know you're tired and all that, and I'm certainly going to give you a hard time or argue with you, but the guy that was chatting was like, you mean because you thought he might have been a little looped?
Yes, because, and that's the only reason.
You know, during takeoff, you know how I am, right? You remember how I am, right? I mean, I like silence. I like total silence.
No,
once we get airborne and I'm calm,
but I also
then I'll start talking because of the booze.
That a lot of times, though, that you're because you're nervous, you get tanked up before we get on the plane.
Yeah.
So I thought this is how this guy's, this has got to be the only reason. This guy is just
loud.
On and on, and saying nothing offensive. Everybody
right.
say, so what do you do? Yeah, well, I'm a contractor here in the Baltimore area.
Gabbard,
lived for most of my life. Yeah, it's a convention.
There have been times when I've done that on a plane, and Don will be in the seats in front of us, and he'll get up to use the facilities, and I'll be having a really, like, animated conversation with a guy that I'm getting along with really well, or a lady that I'm getting along with, and Don will come back and give me a look from the bathroom, just kind of look and just shake his head.
Yeah.
There
but this guy might, no, this guy, as it turns out, not alcohol fueled.
Oh, well, that's not good.
It's a 5.5 hour flight, and the guy the whole time just nonstop with the talking.
Loves to talk.
So I notice an hour into the flight, the woman next to him, she pulls a trick where I can tell she's not really sleeping. She put the headphones on, and I can see her looking out the window, but she's got her head turned at this guy so that he can't talk to her. So now he puts his headphones on to watch. They're showing Friends. And this is all I'm hearing.
Air travel in America.
I swear, this is all I'm hearing. Ha 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 ha! Oh ho ho!
She's basically getting the movie theater experience on the plane.
Ha ha! Oh! Yes, right! Monica, yeah! I mean, the guy's making comments like this, and I'm not saying anything to him because it's a fight.
Is he sounding like he wants to share? He just wants to share?
No, he's just so stupidly happy he's enjoying himself. Here is where...
Talk to the TV.
Here's where I lost it with him. Here is where I lost it.
Type of guy that likes to hit you and point.
They get done showing Friends and showing the movie, and they get done with their dumb America West hidden video show, which he also loved, and then they run, you know, like in the movie theater where they run the trivia for idiots?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well,
he yelled it out.
For the last half hour of the flight, they're running trivia
right.
on the monitors.
Right.
There's no sound. And for instance, I'll give you a sample as to the
real brain teaser,
the IQ required.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
This city is known as the City of Lights. A, Rome. B, Paris. C, Moscow. D, New York. For each of these questions, which were about this stuff, this guy would immediately size it up and out loud would go, gotta be D. Gotta be D. And then, like, when it wasn't D, when they would take away Rome, he would go, either A or C. And the guy did this on maybe 10 questions in a row. The moment where I lost it, and Frida is working today as well. I don't want to call her on the radio today because she's as tired as I am. But whenever she's on, she absolutely will back me up on this. Mike, this will go into history much like I would run in circles for ye.
I could run around in circles for ye.
Right. Here's what this moron says behind me on this airplane. The question is something to do with some TV show. Where is CSI based? And it's like, A, Las Vegas, B, you know, New York, whatever it is. And he says, I reckon it's A. And there was just
he's saying this out loud to himself.
Yeah, and to the woman who's kind of like, you know, she's reading a magazine.
The woman who's trapped with him.
But she's like, yeah, maybe it is. And he says, well, no, because we're going to Las Vegas. And then the second time he said, I reckon it's A. And I turned to Frida, the guy's right behind me, and I said, real loud, in my loudest voice,
oh, good.
I said, I reckon we'll be in Las Vegas in about an hour. I reckon we'll have a great time there. I reckon that's where CSI is filmed. That's what I reckon. I feel the nails in my arm. He says, shut up.
Kill him.
Like, doesn't this guy annoy anybody else? I reckon Joey sure is funny. Dummy, idiot, dummy.
Were you able to have any kind of direct confrontation besides that?
No, and I wanted it up. Here's the thing.
When you're getting up, did you get a good look at him?
At one point, and now I'm waiting, because I've even done the thing to guys. So, like I said, just stupidly happy
right.
that I've turned around and given him my best, hey, shut up. I mean, he's directly behind me.
Give him a look.
turned around in the seat and looked at him, but his eyes would not meet mine because his eyes were staring at whatever the America West challenge was. So I'm waiting to get to eyeball the guy. Because what I want to do is I just want to say, listen, pal, I'm glad you're happy on the flight, but 7 o'clock in the freaking morning, just shut up. The guy finally gets up.
I reckon you're upset with me.
The guy gets up. What's he got? He's got a giant shirt. Incidentally, he's one of these guys. Sir, you're an XL. Your days of mediums are long gone. I speak from experience, okay? An XL T-shirt on a medium T-shirt on an XL body don't look good.
Not good.
So he's got the medium T-shirt on the XL body, mm-hmm. but as he gets up to walk by, I immediately said, oh, God, he's a load. Look at this guy. But he turns around. What does it say on the front? Big American flag, 9/11. Proud to be an American.
Oh, so you can't rip that off his body.
So I can't say to the guy, hey, you know, shut up, because the guy's like a walking poster for it, you know.
You can't say, hey, sit down, Mr. 9/11.
Yeah, absolutely.
That size fits everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
God.
But that was just the beginning. I mean, this is something that, it's just me, and it really started our entire trip to Las Vegas on a bad note, and I apologize to my wife. I got a car a couple of weeks ago. I got a new car, and I'm excited to drive this car. I got a new Escalade. I'm excited to drive it. Well, I got in the car at 4 o'clock on Saturday morning to go to the airport.
Your schedule's a little. You went basically 4 a.m. to 4 a.m.
Right. So
wow.
So anyway, we're in the car, and I get in the car, and it says unrecognized driver when I put my key in, and it's like the engine goes shuts off. Now, it's not a dead battery.
No,
it's not a dead battery.
It's the computer policing you.
Yeah, right. So I said to Frida, listen, I got to figure out what's going on with this car. She said, oh, just leave it. You know, worry about it when you get back. I said, when do we get back? I said, now, this is what I said. You know, we're going to get back at midnight on Sunday night. I said, I don't want to be sitting outside worrying about my car at midnight. She said, well, what are we going to do? Miss the plane? Just leave the car. So we took her car to the airport, and suffice it to say, just because it's the kind of dork I am, I was in a sour mood immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I said, like the whole way to the airport, I said to Frida, what do you think is wrong with that car? Do you think I should call? Do you think I should call the dealership? It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, maybe I can just leave a message for the guy. She said, and what's the guy going to do? Where are the keys? I said, in my pocket. She said, so what? The guy's just going to come out to the house? And what if it's just a dead battery? But anyway, this was what was paramount on my mind. Because I am a mental case. Because my brother's getting married, and we're going out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I don't know anything about any of this.
And you're about to meet Happy Man.
Yeah. So the fact that I was reacting to this guy was in part because I had this thing with my car. And incidentally, easily solved when we finally did arrive home this morning at 5:30. The first thing I did before I went to go to bed was
right.
I pushed my car out of the garage so I could get the OnStar button going and press that and said, hey, what's happening? And they said, oh, when you got in the car, whatever, you pressed whatever button, you know, with your big fat ass, you must have pushed against the button.
Reset everything.
That reset everything.
Oh,
all you had to do was press the reset button. And so, like, all weekend, I was going crazy about this, obsessing. You know, even, like, right after the wedding, when I was at my most happy, Frida said to me, it's really nice, Jimmy, so happy you're here. I said, I'm happy to be here. I love him so much. I said, God. I really wish my car was okay.
Yeah.
You know, because that's just sure. The kind of jerk face I am.
So it set the tone.
So we get there, and I say to Frida, as the plane lands, I said, now I'm going to put this all behind me.
It's Vegas.
That's what I said.
It's Sin City. Go have a good time.
I said, I don't care about the guy talking on the plane. I don't care if the car is broken. We're here for Jimmy. My wife's never been to Las Vegas.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
How did she find the city?
Well, she liked it.
Good.
She liked it
not
a lot.
Not surprised.
She liked it a lot. Then the problem was finding my brother. And the problem is...
He was supposed to meet you at the airport.
Yes. And not only was he there...
Forget it!
Not only was he there, he was there early.
Oh.
And the reason that our paths did not cross was...
Oh.
I did not recognize my brother.
Wow.
Now, you could have said, well, he could have recognized me, but I was doing the thing. I had sunglasses on, mm-hmm. I was doing that.
You were wearing the wig, weren't you?
I was wearing one of my Michael Jackson.
Yeah,
outfits.
The total disguise.
Yeah.
Well, now I know why your car didn't recognize you.
So anyway, I said to Frida, you stay right here. I'm going to do a quick once around. I'll find him. So I'm walking around, and finally, it's like, we're there 20 minutes, and I said, damn it, I can't find him anywhere, and I can't get a cell call out. And then I hear, hey, dude, and this guy comes towards me, and I swear to Christ.
How is he so different? What does he look like now? Older? Is he older?
Let me say, yes, much older. My brother is, I'm going to be 46, so he's going to be 44.
Okay.
The celebrity he used to most resemble, and think back to the last time you saw him.
It was Kurt Cobain.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
The celebrity he most resembles now is actor Michael Marsden, but with a goatee. The guy's in Kill Bill. Here's his picture. You see this guy?
Yeah.
My brother and anybody out there with the internet,
wow.
Do a search on this guy.
You got dark hair?
You'd recognize him if you saw him.
My brother has very short, very dark hair. He's gone from having hair all the way down to his
back.
And
it used to be kind of like blonde-like.
Yeah, well, now it is jet black with a little gray coming through.
Really?
And
wow. My
brother, he has got the ashtray face.
He's craggy.
He's starting to get that. That's the first thing I said to him. Hey.
Still smoking?
I said, hey, Mac Davis face.
Yeah, he's craggy.
He hooves. He smokes constantly. But I didn't recognize him because, frankly, he looked a lot better than I've ever seen him.
Really?
Wow. He was wearing regular, clothes, like not the crap that he normally
wears. Wasn't wearing like a Kevin Arnold t-shirt with jeans.
No, not like overalls or something like that. He was dressed pretty normal. And the only thing that I can say about his appearance, because frankly I was blown away, and so was pretty. You'll hear it on the tape how good my brother looks, is the fact that I guess it's just time. My brother is now fatter than I am.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
And don't think...
So he's put on some pounds.
And don't think that I didn't enjoy that.
Oh, I bet
sure.
You did, because for years hasn't given you a hard time about that.
No, he still calls me Big Moose.
Right.
And so at one point we're standing out front of whatever, the Caesars, wherever we're standing, and he said, oh, yeah, I gained a little weight there. And I said, no, have you really? Because, it's hard to tell sometimes. And he said, no, take a look. And he's standing there with a T-shirt, just like I said, how much you weigh? He said, oh, I don't know. They're like 225, 235. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, hey, dude, I'm like 215. Hey, Fatso.
Hey, Big Moose.
Hey, Big Moose. Hey, Big Moose. That's after 8 years of not seeing my brother, that's what a lot of, at least our beginning conversation was like, where it would be, one of us would say something to the other. Then it was, okay, faggot. Okay, Moose. Okay, damn dummy. Uh-huh. And then Frida would say to me, or Marnie, his wife, would say, why are you guys arguing? Said, we're not arguing.
That's how we talk.
This is just this is how
kind of your upbringing.
How we speak. It. We are raised in the house of Sam and Fran. So we get out there. God, we went to the wedding. We recorded the wedding. Jimmy was nice enough to let us record the wedding.
They do it in one of those little Vegas chapels?
A chapel that's famous for the Honeymoon in Vegas was one of the movies that was filmed there.
Oh, so you went to the one. That's good. Yeah. Very good.
He and his entire clan could not have been nicer. No,
there wasn't any clan there, was it?
Wrong clan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
With a C, not with a K.
Oh.
Clan as in, family feud, like a clan.
Right.
His kin.
And there were about, 10 other people there?
It's kinfolk. There was about 10 of them there.
You reckon they were there for the gambling or the wedding?
No, I reckon they were there for the wedding. They were there for the nuptials.
Well, I reckon they had a good time then.
And again, I'll just say this. I don't know why we don't have at least 10 listeners in Las Vegas, because I'm at 4 again this weekend. 2 cab drivers. I just get in the cab and say, I'm going to the Venetian.
Cab drivers love us out there.
Guy says, hey, you're here for Don and Mike. Your brother's getting married. The 2 guys say this to
me.
And you'll hear this on the tape. I don't know if you hear it on the tape. We're in the chapel, and the guy comes up to me. As my brother's like 1 minute away from getting married,
right.
The guy that runs the place comes up to me and goes, hey, I want you to know, I'm a huge, huge fan of the show. And your brother's pictures today, they'll be comped.
Wow. That's nice.
And then later that night, we're at Emeralds.
We got to be put on a FM station out there.
We were having dinner at Emeralds, my brother's wedding night, over at the Venetian.
Was Emerald a big fan?
No, but Johnny Tomato, or whatever the guy's name is, who was the maitre d' there, he was up my butt. I mean, he was like, oh, hey, Mr. Don!
Victor Raspberry or whatever the guy's name.
And, you know, my brother was...
Tiffany.
My brother was loving the notoriety.
Oh, good.
Good.
Sure.
Yeah, so...
Why not?
So anyway, he got married. I played blackjack with him. Buzz, there is somebody who plays worse than you.
I'm so relieved.
And it would be my brother Jim.
Nice not to have to carry that mantle anymore, isn't it?
Ooh, yes. I had a good fight with a blackjack dealer.
That's always fun.
Because, I used the F word at the table, but I didn't use it in a way like to say, oh, F this. Or I just said to my brother, I think he had an 8 and a 3. So he's got 11 showing. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, you gotta hit that effing thing. And what's her name? Miss Saigon says, no cursing at my table.
Oh, come on.
And I said,
Las Vegas.
And I said, honey.
Were you cursing at her?
No.
You're not cursing at her.
I was saying to my brother, you got to, you know, have and hit that. You know, you got to love it showing.
Right.
And she said, no cursing at my table. I said, oh, come on. I said, honey, this is my brother. He just got married. This was after. I said, he just got married. I'm teaching him how to play blackjack. No cursing at my table. No,
boy.
Cousin.
That's how I know I've played out there. For a long time.
Wow.
I could look at the dealer right now and go, you abominable F. And the dealer would just laugh and go, okay, so can I get the waitress over here and get you another drink?
No, let me ask.
Know your dealers.
No cursing. She didn't know you. That didn't seem that right.
Jimmy was asking about Jimmy's, because I said to Jimmy, we're leaving this table. Yeah. Goodbye, Miss Saigon. Table's cold. We'll go somewhere else.
An ice storm. It's on the other side of the table.
Yeah, we played blackjack, and then we went out to dinner, and then we went out.
Did you get a chance to give him the proper bachelor party?
No, I did not.
Didn't?
I did not because I arrived like 4 hours before the wedding.
Oh, that's right.
With a lot of family.
So we didn't.
Stuff.
Yeah, we wouldn't go see any strippers or anything. My brother is so funny that yesterday we said, whatever you want to do, you know, and all he wanted to do was go to see the live statues at the Venetian.
That's what he wanted to do?
Yeah. Well, he really wanted to go on the canal ride, and so did Marley. Marnie. I'm sorry, I'm tired.
Hey, I'm kind of, I'm delighted, though, that you went to my casino.
So we went there, and then we, you know, walked through the Disneyland.
Did you get on the gondola?
Well, no. Well, when we found out that it was a 1 hour, 45-minute wait.
Hello.
We bagged that idea, but my brother was so enamored with the human statues.
Of course. Yes, you walk up and stare at them, and all of a sudden they move. Very, very exciting.
And I had a little bit of fun with one of the people at, I think it was a Venetian, one of these ladies who was dressed like Queen Elizabeth, or not Queen
they're
Elizabeth.
They're dressed like Greek statues.
No, there was a woman who looked like George Washington's time. She had like one of those big...
Were they all in white?
Not all the statues were in white,
okay,
powdered wigs.
But there were other people like that were presenting, pretending rather that they were there from like when Abraham Lincoln was.
Okay.
Anyway, so the lady's walking around. She got a big powdered wig on, and she looked like she could be George Washington's wife.
Okay.
And she was. Well, good day, sir. And where are you from? I said Washington D.C. Where's that province? I've never heard of that. And I said, it's 3,000 miles that way. She said, brilliant. How did you get to this faraway land? I swear to God, I said, sister, that's what I called her. I said, sister, go peddle this crap to somebody else. And I give her credit. She said, all right, and have a great day. But I just wasn't.
Peddle this crap. We're not buying any here.
As I said,
get out of here.
Peddle this crap somewhere else.
And don't be like Tigger. Don't be like Tigger the Tiger and grope me.
She had the hair like Bride of Frankenstein hair. You know, straight up, but it was that coffee, not even coffee cake. It was all silver.
Mm-hmm.
And she was walking around with a very...
Like Martha Washington.
Yeah, very expensive costume looking dress. But speaking with a British accent.
Peddle it somewhere else, sister.
Peddle that crap. I said, listen, sister, peddle that crap somewhere else.
I got a guy sitting behind me on the plane who'll likely meet you. He'd be there for 2 hours. Well, they haven't formed it yet, right?
But let me... Jesus, I got him... we got a break, but I got to mention this. The people at Emeril's Restaurant, oh, do I owe them a debt of gratitude
really?
That I will never be able to possibly repay them for. We had the after-wedding, after-drinks dinner there, and I was glad to pick up the tab. And I did the paperwork, and we were walking out of the restaurant, and the waiter, who is a very honest fellow indeed, as we were walking out of the restaurant, like a pack of five guys come, they come running after us, and everybody goes, what's going on? And they said, they're looking for me. And I'm like, what's going on?
What I do.
I said, I got the credit card, I paid the bill,
nice.
I tipped real good. Well, as it turns out, the bill was like for something like $1,200, and they treated us real nice, so... The total was like $1,600 for a wedding dinner in Las Vegas. That's
mm-hmm.
good.
Right.
However, because I was a little drunky,
mm-hmm. added an extra zero.
I did. And when the waiter came out, he said, "Sir,
yeah.
I know you appreciated the service. I just want you to see that the total you've written on the bottom is not $1,620. It's $16,200. And not only had I put an extra zero there, I'm so dumb, so sleep deprived, so drunk, I put a little scratch that appears to be a comma after the six. So it looks like I just paid $16,000.
This was the greatest service I've ever gotten at any place in America.
I got hiccups.
And
I'll drink to that.
I love Emeril on the Food Network.
Let me just say, my brother does. But let me say thank you to them. Thank you so much, because it's one of those deals where, you know, I guess they could.
I think you can beat it if it came right down to it. You know, if they really wanted to say, no, you really did give us that tip, you could actually make a case. You probably could, but it would be a hassle if they were unscrupulous. You know, they could come back and say, no, you specifically said you want to give them
$16,000. And that went over real good with Frida.
Sure.
As we're being accosted in the middle of this this mall, this at the Venetian again, I think, or I don't know where this restaurant is, Emeralds, MGM Grand, I don't know which one. Anyway,
they all run together.
There's a group of like 20 guys, and I'm trying to keep it from Frida. I'm saying to the guy, I'm saying, oh, God, thank you. I'm such an idiot. I'm so tired. And I'm saying to the guy, you know.
Thank you for your honesty.
I'm saying, you know, where I live, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I would have been asleep 5 hours ago. You're so great. And Frida comes by, and she goes, what's going on over here? I go, nothing, everything.
Right.
She goes, what are you doing? And then the waiter says, your husband. He was going to leave us $16,000.
Yeah, did you correct it to $1.60 after that?
Yes, I did.
Much better.
Absolutely.
Thank you for nothing, sucker.
Then you've already heard about the crap coming home with the America West. Thanks for that. Thanks for, and you know, anybody that travels knows this, and this happened to you when you were in Dallas.
Sure did, a year ago.
You get to the airport 2 hours early because that's what they tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So we got there 2 hours before they were supposed to board the flight, which was an hour before. So we got there 3 hours before the plane.
Right.
Then you add on to that the five hours that we waited for the plane, and then the 4.5 hours to make the flight back. You know, you think you're going to walk in and walk out, and the next thing you know, seriously, it's like 16 hours in the goddamn airport.
Right.
16 hours
flying.
In the goddamn
quick way to travel.
Damn airport.
Right.
Jesus.
And then, you know, technology to a certain extent exists to let you know what's going on. But by and large, most people find out what the status of their airliner is by the time they get to the gate. Yeah. And they're there, and they've gotten their stuff unloaded, and they're at the airport, and they're ready to go, and it just sucks.
Let me tell you, after they made the announcement that the plane was broke,
uh-huh.
Oh, this is two other funny things, real quick. First, the people had started drinking by this time. There was a bar, there's a Fox Sports bar nearby. We are gate B21. It's just a short walk away. So people are getting drunk, and they announced that the plane was broken but was on its way. And somebody who had had a couple of drinks walked over and pointed to the gigantic big screen that said, and it had our flight, and it said, departed.
Oh.
At the time that it was supposed to leave. So on
amazing.
On the screen, it's still, you know, meanwhile, it's 3.5 hours later, nothing's happened. Then they make an announcement. Then they get on. Hold on. I need that thing again. Did you put it away already? No, never mind then, Rob. Do it like this. They get on, and they announce after they've made us wait over. This was after we've been waiting over 4 hours.
Right.
Before they came along with the great come on about the snacks, which they took back. Then they get on. They make this announcement.
We are obligated to tell you that America West has the right to not accept any passenger on the airplane who appears to be intoxicated.
Oh, God.
So if you are planning on drinking excessively, please know that we will not allow you on this airplane is here and talks. Thank you, America West Airlines.
Meanwhile, at this point, people are like, wait, hold on. We're waiting for 5 hours.
Hey, and then nobody, can we have no fun at all?
No, absolutely not.
You may
absolutely not. No fun.
It's ridiculous.
But there was great fun. Don't get me wrong. There was great fun because my brother got married, and he's happy, and he's in love.
And he looks like Michael Madsen.
He does. He does.
And there was a wedding.
With an N, and it's got the
text. Incidentally, for those of you that have ever seen the movie Reservoir Dogs, Michael Madsen is the guy that cuts off the policeman's ear.
Hey, that's right. Yeah,
wow.
Good pull, Mike.
He's
right.
Famous, really, for that movie.
Yeah, see, and I was trying to
he's
think
the
of
evil guy in Reservoir. He's the worst guy in Reservoir Dogs.
Wow. Most currently, he's in Kill Bill. But yeah,
right.
You're right. That's where I should have known him from as well.
And I don't want to turn around to you. And he's doing a little dance, too. Oh, it's a horrible scene.
Oh, and
horribly awful, wonderful, scary.
What else did my brother do? When we were walking through the hotel, he saw that guy, Jesse James.
The same guy that we didn't recognize at the Super Bowl?
Right, except that my brother, I didn't realize it might as well have been God walking by. Mm-hmm. Jimmy did the whole thing where he did the double take and he walks up and he goes, I want to say, oh, wow, I love you. You're my favorite. You know, the guy's shaking his hand and trying to blow my brother off and going, yeah. And then Jimmy said, did you know who that was? I said, yeah, we had him on the show at the Super Bowl.
We completely insulted him.
We blew him off. And then Jimmy said, he called me Richard Cheney.
Right.
Yeah.
I have a little. I'll never forget that guy said. I have a little company you might know called West Coast Choppers. And we were sitting there just going, oh dear.
I loved him.
No, we weren't. We didn't care.
No, we didn't.
When we were talking about, hey, love that show where you make that stuff with your father.
I thought it was Monster Garage.
Yeah.
Anyway, so when Jimmy found out that I had insulted, Jesse James, why that almost got the wedding day off to a bad start.
Sure.
He thought that was a good sign.
That's Jimmy's wheelhouse. He likes that kind of
stuff. Yeah, because we had met in the hotel to go over to the chapel, right. And then he thought, oh, this is like a sign that this is a preordained day. But
sure.
Look at the great Jesse James just walked down.
There he goes with his tattoos.
Big doofus. But it was a great weekend, a weekend of love. I do have some tape.
Big guy Jesse James married to a porn star at one point.
Yeah. Was he really?
Yeah.
And I'll call Jimmy.
Janine.
Call Jimmy to find out how everything is going. 24
yes.
hours or
we
48
should.
Hours into his wedding.
It's not Janine. It's Peter North.
I love it when we invoke the names of porn stars.
And I get it. Peter North. Would that indicate homo?
Yeah, well, it's a male.
Man on man thing.
There used to be a name for him that we can't say on the show anymore.
No.
He had a certain
talent.
Yeah, he just had a certain talent that nobody in the industry had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, this guy did?
Yep. We can't talk about it.
Good. I'm glad.
I think we all are.
I don't know what the talent is. I'm so friggin' tired. What is it? Right.
You look shot.
Oh, is that what? That's
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Money? Was it the money shot?
Yeah.
What, like bombs bursting in air?
Yeah.
So we put on a fireworks show.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How big?
That was his thing.
How big? How big was the show?
Need a buzz?
Big. It was a big show.
How big?
It was a very, very large show. I'd say 4 or 5 times larger than the average show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
Really? Bicentennial?
Really? Yeah. Listen, I'm no homo, but give me this
tape. He really knew the ropes.
I'm no homo, but give me this tape. Maybe I could learn something. I think I'm good in that regard. I'm a good web slinger.
Well, it's...
I'm like Spidey. like Spider-Man.
You're not like this guy.
Really?
Nobody's like this guy.
Don't forget, I can still say this.
I
hit the ceiling once.
Okay, God.
I worked in Detroit.
Here we go.
Okay, no, we're not going there.
We're not going there.
No, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Excuse me. I'd like to say I'm really glad and proud to be here tonight. True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a goddamn magic show, ready to double-team your girlfriend, and it stops.
It stops right there, and it continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind. Let's raise our glasses, whatever we got in front of us. Salute, health and happiness. Cheers, everybody. I love you so much, Frankie.
I love you. I'm not a talker. I love you. Congratulations.
The Don and Mike Show. Goodbye. The Don and Mike Show.
And I had an old school moment
Oh, did you really?
I didn't have the guts to do it, though, because it was my brother's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
When we were standing up there at the Chapel of the Dolls or wherever, whatever it was, when the woman...
Chapel of the Dolls.
The woman said, is there anybody who thinks his wedding should not... I wanted someone...
You want to do a Vince Vaughn cough?
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't
cough. Don't do it.
Wait until you get through, Jim.
But I looked around and I saw... It was somber.
The mood wasn't right.
I mean, well, it was not somber. And
her parents were pretty into it.
Yeah, well, everybody was into it.
And why not?
It was a real wedding. And let's roll this now. Do we have the Frida tape?
Yeah, it's a number two.
Oh, beautiful.
All right, very good. So now we're going to have live actualities of you and the Wisconsinites.
Yes, and a lot of this is Frida doing interviews, but I'm on this at one point when we're driving to the chapel. Jimmy and Marnie came to pick us up at the hotel and then drive to the chapel.
Very good.
So this will start with...
Okay, yeah. Testing with the microphone stuff.
Listen to her.
Testing one, two.
She sounds completely with
it. Ready to go to Jimmy's wedding. Just have a little loving. Mm. Okay, let me see if this works.
Yeah. I can say this in our new FCC-friendly format.
Yes.
Let me just say, we broke in the tub.
Hey, very good.
Wow. Did. Yeah.
So you weren't so tired that you didn't have fun in the tub.
No, right. Absolutely. I'm not a tub guy.
Way to go.
I am not a tub guy.
Wow, right.
I think that's like maybe the second time I've ever gotten in the tub with my wife.
Water can be an aphrodisiac.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How about them french fried potatoes?
Okay, one other test. Let's see what happens when I hold the mic up to my mouth and use it like it's a real microphone. I mean, I hold the whole thing up to my mouth.
Listen to her. She's Barbara Walters.
Okay, Marnie, I'm going to, we're going to put this on the air, so I'm going to tape you. I'm going to tape recorder. So I want your feelings right now as we...
Yes. No. Okay. Marnie said no. You have to turn there.
Excuse me for jumping in on my
segment. Were you backseat driving there?
Yeah, well, Marty was trying to tell my brother to get off the Las Vegas Strip to go one street behind to miss the traffic, and he was too busy listening to Frida interview Marty. And
a little distracted.
Yeah, and he missed the turn, and we're running late now.
Oh.
At this point, we're late for his wedding.
Uh-oh, not good.
Okay, the Strip is jammed. We're going to be late for the wedding.
Darn California.
Marnie seems cool and collected. What are your thoughts?
That I'm mad that he took the wrong street.
Yeah, do you think it's subconscious?
Yes, I think it is.
So it begins.
Because Frida's never been down the strip before.
So Jimmy's giving me a sightseeing tour, which I appreciate, instead of making it to his marriage. All right.
Frida really got a kick out of the yard. Margaritas by the yard.
Yeah, I think we're going to try that later.
Hold on a second. All right, now here I was thinking, perhaps... This was a completely sober report, and then I hear margaritas by the yard, and Frida's had a yard of margaritas?
I ain't saying nothing.
Okay, now I listen to her. And
I ain't saying nothing.
It sounds just like the cruise ship.
I got hiccups.
I ain't saying nothing, but...
Are you not saying anything? Because you said, don't make a big deal about
She was fascinated by margarita by the yard.
Sure.
She had had beer by the yard when she was in college, and she was
a tequila. Stronger.
She was telling us how you just open your mouth and glug, glug, glug. And
I was prepared. You didn't say anything. It was on the tape.
Now, Mike, I believe, you know, well, she's not driving, so it doesn't matter. But
right.
She's not drunk.
She's a little drunk.
I'm saying nothing.
Okay.
Is all I want to say. As far as I know, because she's still mad at me for screaming at her this morning at the airport.
Right.
Yeah.
As far as I know,
well, let's
nothing to drink.
Let's listen and we'll be the judge.
At this point.
That'll look good. That'll be fun.
Jimmy.
All right. So Jimmy, tell us your thoughts right on this minutes before your wedding.
I'm still single.
Yeah. Tell us who you saw in the hotel.
Oh, Jesse James.
Yeah. Tell us how you embarrassed him.
I just walked right up and said, Jesse. Shook his hand.
Yeah.
And he looked at him.
And we all thought he was... We thought he was a biker friend of yours because, we don't know, guy with tattoos, you look like you're glad to see him. That's what we assumed. So even though you do look like, you know, the executive now, what do you think of this new look, Marnie?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
don't shame. He doesn't have a hat on. He has hair under there.
He doesn't have hair compared to when we saw him. He looks very sophisticated. I've told him he resembles an actor, or, you know, he...
Right, maybe there had been a yard of Mark.
Yeah, you can tell. Yeah, I mean, I could tell, like as soon as she's
maybe there had
she's
been,
not interviewing.
Maybe there had just been a sip of something that passed over her sweet lips.
Right, exactly.
Because she was parched,
of course,
in the desert.
Hey,
it's
Las Vegas.
Where it was 50 degrees.
You gotta have to have it. Was it really cold?
Yeah,
it was.
Oh. Yeah, and everybody delighted.
80 back here.
I know everybody. Every time I talk to anybody back here, they delighted in telling me, "How's the weather? It's 50. It's great. It's 90 here."
And how about that spring? One day of spring in Washington D.C.
I said, "Hey, but you're not going to my brother's wedding. Forget that.
What?
I'll take that.
Please do ask Jimmy if he will dedicate this wedding to Roy Horn."
Oh, hold on. Stop this and back that up for a second. Now, here's the deal.
Now, you sound like you've traveled. You've been up since a very early hour.
I've not had anything to drink, but I'm tired.
Yeah.
We are driving past.
Please do ask.
Beijing, Mr.
Herbert.
Please do ask Jimmy.
We are driving past because the traffic on the strip in Las Vegas is going literally 0 miles an hour.
That is it all the time, especially on the weekends. It's the way it is.
We're going past a sign, a gigantic tribute sign to Roy Horn and Siegfried Moe, whatever his name is.
You know, Fischbacher.
Hitler, whatever his name is. But it's the giant. It's a gigantic Siegfried and Roy sign. And we're parked at a stoplight where all we can see from anywhere we look in the car is this giant lit sign that says Siegfried and Roy.
Now, is this just a tribute now they've got up there, or have they not yet taken down their big oversized Mirage ad?
This is something new that's like a tribute to them, but
okay.
Near the Mirage.
All right.
So this is where I want to jump in and help with the interview. Because, you know, I didn't think Frieda would ask this. So,
please do ask Jimmy if he will dedicate this wedding to Roy Horn.
To who?
Roy Horn.
Who's Roy Horn?
You're a bastard.
You don't know the tragedy of Siegfried and Roy?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay, I did.
Yeah, at this moment, what I'm doing is
he sounds a little froggy.
I'm actually pointing to the sign, you know, with the thing, you know, he's saying,
okay.
And my brother is, you're going to hear
partied out maybe
during the ceremony. Yeah, he's had a lot of life to live in the previous 3 days he's been in Las Vegas. Absolutely
dedicated to him.
Okay, all right. There's more to come. All right, I'll turn it on again later. Okay, we've arrived.
Can we go in?
Fun city.
Can we?
Aw, chapel of the bells. Doesn't this make you want to do it all over again, my darling? Hello, come in. You're not talking to me. All right.
Hey, hold on. Did you hold like a giant hand up?
That was a real
talk to the hand.
That was a real funny moment. She's back there pretending she's Lucy Ricardo. Doesn't this make you want to do it again? And I really just wanted to give her the finger, but I just gave her a look. No, I don't.
There was no answer.
Okay, we're getting ready to have the big moment now. And Marnie is walking down the aisle.
This is in the chapel.
Any music?
I think you can hear the background.
Not actually. She hasn't started yet. Because the aisle's not that long.
It's a cassette player.
You won't hear much of the music because by the time it starts, it kind of gets noise reductioned out of the tape.
Okay.
Last minute instructions to Marnie's dad before he walks him down the aisle. My handsome husband standing up there next to his brother.
Is there a video here?
No.
My brother, JPS, as his new name, like JPL. JPS, James Phillips Horse.
That speaks volumes right there.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's go with the wedding. Here we go. Here's the ceremony.
Come on.
Is this being taped?
Now,
this is taped in a hot tub.
This sounds like Star Trek because... Yeah. Here's the deal.
I'm your father, Luke.
We might have to fast forward past this because...
You're crazy.
Because it's a tiny tape recorder that is on a podium in which a woman, approximate age 180, is marrying my brother and Marnie.
That's great.
And she's really got a very soft voice.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of noise in the background. One of the things that they took off in the production room, you know how on TV sometimes when you watch CSI and they say they're listening to something and they go, take out the background noise.
In sickness and in health has
song as you both live.
But they really did this in the back room. They they took out the background noise, which was a tape recorder playing dun 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 dun.
Ah, very good.
Dun 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 dun. So anyway, here it is.
We're here before God and these witnesses to join in marriage. James and Myrna.
She a smoker?
Gotta be.
Why these two should not be joined, speak now.
Can you hear the music in the background a little bit?
Who gives this woman in marriage?
I do on behalf of the family, her father.
Step over to the side.
This is funny. This is like a real little chapel wedding.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Marnie, do you take James for your wedding husband? Will you love, honor, comfort, and keep one another?
Sorry for the quality of the statement.
Will you please get me a pack of Marlboro Lights?
Yes. The institution of marriage.
It's my brother.
Yes.
Will you turn?
They might as well have been asking him.
Is this the quickest one you've ever been to?
Yeah. They might as well have said, you know, do you promise to do 100 hours of community service?
Yes. Yes.
Going out of question.
There he is actually doing it.
Or worse,
for better or worse.
Richer or poor.
Richer or poor.
In sickness and health.
Sickness and health.
To love and cherish.
Love and cherish.
To death do us part.
Death do us part.
According to the law of God.
According to the law of God.
I always hate that part.
So I have to take James as my word of it.
James.
Those laws have wiggle room.
All right, this is
I hope so, Buzz.
This is Marnie giving her part.
Richer or poor.
Is this surreal to be standing in Las Vegas on Saturday afternoon, right off the strip, watching my brother get married?
James, would you receive the ring on the left hand?
James.
How many do you figure this lady does a day?
Ring ID.
Cigarettes or weddings?
About the same. One for wedding.
My love and devotion I've pledged to you.
My love and devotion I've pledged to you.
I would get the gist of this. Let's go to the after. Because it's hard to pick it up. It just it's too noisy in there.
Who's the celebrity that the lady most resembles?
Estelle Getty. but Estelle Getty... Older.
Oh, wow. White hair?
Yeah.
Old school.
All right, so now it's over.
How long would you say the ceremony lasted?
5 minutes.
Wow.
That's a new record.
And then there was about 5 minutes of pictures.
Uh-huh. What? Yes, it's still going.
I'm not single anymore.
There he is.
Now they got the licenses and everything, right?
Yeah.
It's all legal.
Everything's done. I signed as the best man as the witness.
It's good.
So now I think Frida's going to talk to some of the people.
Family.
Did you interview the mom or something, and or the dad or the guy?
Minister, but I thought the minister was the man.
Was Elvis there? Was there an Elvis impersonator? Hold on, here's Frida now.
All right, wait a minute. I'm hopefully.
Frida's new like roaming reporter role on the show is cracking me up. She has the same kind.
I'll drink to that.
I like it. I enjoy it.
Yeah. So tell me, how do you think the wedding came off today?
Well, I think it went rather well. They went through with it, and that's the important part.
Yeah, and you're not going to exploit these pictures in any way. It's not going to be like Brittany and whomever.
No, actually, they get the negative, so they can do whatever they want with
them. Oh, all right. Very good.
Oh, this was the guy at the chapel that came over.
That's the wedding photographer?
The guy who runs the whole place.
Oh.
He came over and said, you know, hey, I'm a big fan of the show, and so, you know, your brother's pictures are free, which was nice.
Right. And how many weddings do you do a day?
It's hard to say, somewhere around 20, 30 on a Saturday. But on a week, it's like 5, 10.
All right, well, good. Well, thank you. I don't know what else my husband wanted me to ask.
I don't know.
Tell me something entertaining.
Well, we were in the movie Las Vegas Vacation.
How are you?
Honeymoon in Vegas.
Wow.
So that's, you know, kind of neat and entertaining.
All right, very good. Thank you. All right.
Make sure I don't listen to the radio on Monday.
No, listen. No, you'll sound great.
Oh, okay.
All right, good. Just don't get your feelings hurt, because he makes everything. Yeah. All right, good. All right, very good. All right.
Okay. Okay, there had been a margarita by the door. There had been.
And I don't mean that in any bad way. It's not, like, over. But it is too late.
Single life is over.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. How do you feel?
Party time.
Taken.
Taken? No, I feel good. Oh. I'm happy. It was a very nice ceremony, I thought.
I'm happy, too. I love you, Marnie.
I love you, too.
Aww. Yeah, but Jimmy, I saw you making eyes at the preacher. I mean, she was a font.
She looked like a prune.
I think she'd seen a few too many weddings. All right, well, congratulations. And my handsome husband looked pretty good standing up there, too. I'm ready to renew our vows. So.
Yeah. We can go do an Elvis one or something here in town.
Yeah, we'll have a couple of those.
Oh, I bet you're loving that when that came up.
I wanted to do that at Graceland, yeah, right. But you didn't do it.
Oh, yeah. We'll have a couple of those yard margaritas, and then what you know.
You got the yard margaritas.
And hey, just one thing that I'll throw in, not too awkward. I'm standing up there. Being the best man,
yeah.
The guy that runs the place comes up 2 seconds before the ceremony. I just want to say, I'm a real big fan of the show.
Cool. All right, it's on to the celebration.
Yay. Frida out.
You know, you got to like that 5-minute ceremony, though, for anybody that's going to, you know, for people that are attending.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
That is one
on and gone.
In and out, like In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Urge, like the bumper stickers used to say.
Very cool.
All right, so, you know, I think all the other stuff was Frida, like, interviewing the in-laws, but they didn't. Here's what, I'm not going to play that, because Frida asked them, what do you think of Jimmy? And they said, he seems nice. Yeah. They had met him exactly 5 minutes before they were getting married.
Yeah, everybody's trying to be polite.
So,
and that's no fun.
So at that point, I said to Lucy, I said, hey, Lucy, you got some explaining to do. Put your tape recorder away. Tape recorder away.
Did they have any margaritas by the yard at the wedding reception?
Have another yard of margarita.
A yard of margarita. There you go.
So now you've heard what I've had to say. You've heard the tape. The question now, is my brother still married? Is he still happy? I know he's in Las Vegas.
Still in Vegas.
Still in Vegas.
He's still honeymooning in Vegas.
Until maybe Wednesday.
Oh, wow. That's a good long time.
Either way, we'll call him in just a second. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Cousin! What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
Hello.
They're ready to believe you.
I ain't seen a beating like that since somebody stuck a banana in my pants and turned a monkey loose.
Thanks for the pick-me-up, Eddie.
Smoother than Bacardi Limon, Don and Mike.
Right, right.
Bacardi Limon.
Here you go.
Wichita, 98.7 FM. Bakersfield, California, KGEO. Sacramento, nice win, Kings, yesterday. Nice going. Don't boo C. Webb. KHTK, Sacramento, California. Salt Lake, KALL. Las Vegas, KSFN. Kansas City, the ticket, KCTE. Who am I forgetting here? Oh, Baltimore, live 105.7. Baltimore, hey, the first place Baltimore Orioles. Right on. Orioles kicking butt. And who else today? How about Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania? Warm.
Yeah.
It's always 59 and warm on 59, 59, 59.
Don?
WARM. Was it really 50 out in Vegas? It was cold?
53 yesterday.
My God.
I know. Let's call to my brother to find out what he thought. And then I know I've had a lot of me just talking about what happened. I'm sorry. This is what happens. I'm sleep deprived. This is what's happened. And also, I want to call my wife at work because... I mean, I'm at work. She's at work, too.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, I was just, even by my standards, a horrible ass at 4:30, screaming at this poor woman, who all she did was accompany me to Las Vegas to go to my brother's wedding. And
yeah, it's like too much weekend.
For my money, it came down to, and it ended up being money, we went through all this crap. It's 4:30 in the goddamn morning. This morning, it's 4:30 in the morning. And because they're doing construction at BWI, you have to take a shuttle bus to the Daly parking lot.
Right.
And the bus came by, and it was for Daly Lot A. We were in Daly Lot B.
Right.
Then a satellite bus came by.
Yeah.
And though they, even though it's 4:30 in the morning, and there's only 200 people in the airport because this is the only airplane that's arrived.
Yes.
Four buses came by, none of them with our police. Meanwhile, there's 50 cabs lined up. I said to my wife, why don't we just spiff this cab guy $5, have him drive us over to the parking lot?
Sure.
She said, no, we'll wait for the bus. And at that point, this is exactly how I reacted.
Uh-huh.
And let me move the chair out.
Oh, dear.
Because I'm embarrassed.
Did you stomp?
I'm embarrassed. I went like this. I said, this is where it ends. It stops now.
Yes.
Waiting for the plane, waiting for the food, everything getting spilled on us, having to sleep on the floor, getting nowhere. Let's pay the $5. Get to the car. Get home. I have to go to work. You have no idea. Just get in the car. Taxi!
I have so been there.
I swear
to God.
I mean, it was a meltdown of those proportions.
Yes.
The travel, the American traveler.
But she stood there. She stood there and she took it.
Yeah.
She wouldn't get a cab.
No, they don't. No.
She still didn't get a cab.
She said, we'll wait for the bus.
Was there anybody around when you did this at all?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Really?
A lot of people.
But enough.
Did you
sleep on the plane at all?
You know, it's not that fitful sleep. I mean, it is
fitful sleep.
Well, it's not restful as well.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Fitful is not restful. Yeah,
right.
It was not restful because, you know, they're making announcements and, you know, there are people talking and they're,
sure.
You know, there are a lot of people who and a lot of people on the plane, I guess, were going to take the day off work today. You know, bastards. Because you don't have the job. You have to, like, here's how it goes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
President. Well, not always president. Let me just say policeman.
Yeah.
Fireman.
Right.
DJ.
Yeah. America counts on them.
Unless the DJ's in a contracted period of vacation time.
Right.
Other than that, we're here every day, baby. This is it. This is a 5-7 job. Can I tell you that?
Yeah.
It's a 5-7 job.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll only say it because I wasn't going to even mention it.
No, I know.
Last night, here's the deal. I called Mike when it looked like...
No, but now I feel bad.
When it looked like that we weren't going to be able to get out of Las Vegas last night.
Yeah.
I called Mike and I said, hey, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so pissed. I'm out of my mind. I gave him the whole thing. We're trying to get...
Hey, you said you had some good news and some bad news.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the good news is that, you know, the wedding was great. We've had a great time out here. The bad news is the flight is broken and that there are no more flights out. And really, I might not be able to get back tomorrow. I said, I'm embarrassed. This is awful. You're gonna have to go in and wing it. And Mike said, nope. I say, put a tape on. And I said, Mike.
You know, after all these years, I didn't feel like doing it on Monday.
Mike,
I had me a little weekend myself.
I said, Mike, we can't do this. God, I said, I'll probably be there. But God, no, we can't. But you just got to go in and do it. I said, I would just feel more comfortable if we ran a tape.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's the way I felt. And I was, it came at a very bad time on the weekend. And I was just, it was like that one last thing that needed to go wrong for me last year.
I came in today and Mike thought I was mad at him. I wasn't mad because and to be honest, the end of the conversation, the last thing you said.
Yeah.
Because I gave you a little bit of attitude, too. Like, come on.
Yeah, we've given each other both a bit of attitude.
But if it was you, I'd go into work. Come on, we got to, you know, listen, people hate us already because, like, they took us off for when we were suspended.
Right.
Then finally, like, I think the last thing you said was, listen, all right, but and you gave me a little bit of attitude, like, right?
I did.
Threw it back, like,
I did.
Okay, well, as long as you're saying there's no way you could get from Las Vegas tonight to here by tomorrow to do the show, as long as that's what you're saying.
Uh-huh. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, then I guess, because, you know, and what I was getting from that is you're inferring to me, like, that. Well, I'm having such a great time. I'm going to call my rube friend Mike, who's so stupid and not street smart, that I'm just going to say, hey, Mike, the plane is broken. I won't be able to make it till tomorrow. Wink, wink.
There was a day when I get all pumped up when you do that. I get all excited.
This wasn't that day.
No, that day is long gone.
I get all, you know, now it's like, you know, I kind of like the way it is. Yeah. And I really enjoy it. And I like doing what I do, and I really like it a lot. And when the apple cart gets upset about it, I don't like it a bit.
Right.
I don't like it one little bit. You're, you know, funny, I've been a trooper. I've done it over the years a couple of times, you know,
hey,
here
but
and
listen,
there.
What was your bottom line?
Bottom line was I do it.
Even though we both kind of hung up, pissed at each other?
The way it was concluded was, hey, if you're not here, I'm here. And then that's it. And that's what we would have done. And I would have, you know, talked about the joys of being a single parent.
Of which, now, I don't want to get, you know, I want to call my brother here.
Yeah.
But, and I'll give you whatever leeway you want. I think that you should.
I will tell you exactly. I'll explain what's going on, and
should open up your life a little more because there's a lot going on.
There is a lot
in your life that you don't let go on the radio.
There's a lot going on, and it's a very interesting week for me. It's a very different kind of situation that I'm going through this week.
And I dig. See, I had to wait till today though to hear from Mike what was going on last night.
Well, what that was just timing that everything had happened at once.
I understand.
And, because of certain circumstances, it was. And Rob got a little of it too, because Rob called shortly thereafter. I'm like, hi, what? What's up? All right, no, fine. All right.
I know what my move was. I was mad at Mike, so I called Rob. And I said,
oh,
hey,
and I knew that you called Rob because Rob called 5 seconds after I talked to you.
I called Rob back. I said, listen, here's the deal. Mike will do it, but he's got something going on. I don't know what it is. I said, call him back and tell him, unless you hear otherwise from me, I'll be there. I don't care. And at this point, I was thinking, you know, optimistically, I said, I don't care if the plane gets in at 2 in the morning,
right.
You know, not knowing it'll be in a 4th. I said, I don't care if it gets in at 2 a.m. I'll be there tomorrow. But if something happens,
mm-hmm.
I'll call you, and then you call Mike.
Right. I knew at that point that I would not be getting any further communication. I knew that I would see you when I came in today, and that was about it. And it was all about timing. See, when you called me, it was what, 5 o'clock, 5:15 Vegas time, and it was 8:15, which is put the girls down to bedtime,
right?
And it was just variety of reasons, which I'll try to explain.
Let me get my brother here, and then good. I'm glad you'll do that.
Because actually, that's my whole stress level is predicated on something not related to the show.
Oh.
At all,
but absolutely to your life.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, very much so.
Hello,
there he is.
Hey, man.
Hey, dude. Now here he is.
Congratulations, Jimmy.
There he is.
Way to go,
hey.
Jimmy.
Newly married.
Yeah.
And how is it going now? 2 days later.
Oh, it's going fine.
It's going fine. We we had a hell of a time getting back yesterday.
Are you a little burned out on Las Vegas now?
Starting to.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know, our plane didn't get back till 4:30 in the morning.
Why?
Oh, I don't. You weren't listening to the show today?
No, we're in the car museum thing.
The car museum.
The Imperial Palace.
Dude, like the whole show I've been talking, I thought you were going to listen to that.
We played the wedding and everything.
I played the tape of Freedom talking to Marnie and the thing of you getting married.
Yeah. Pretty funny stuff, huh?
Hey, come on, JPS. What's going on?
Nothing. I'm just tired. That's all. We're walking through this car museum right now.
Did everything go all right this week?
Yeah, everything's fine.
Married life's good?
Yeah. Married life, yeah.
Hey, put Marnie on. I feel more comfortable talking to her than you.
Oh, okay. Hold on.
He doesn't have a pulse.
Okay.
Something's wrong. Maybe just
hello?
Hey, hi, Marnie. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hey, what's up with that brother of mine? Is he okay today?
Yeah, I think we're both just tired. We stayed out kind of late last night.
I think everybody's burned. Hey, what'd you guys do last night?
We ended up going up on Fremont Street watching the light show up there, and I drank two drinks, which was two drinks too many, so
yeah,
I'm kind of tired from that.
You didn't have any more margaritas by the yard, did you?
That's exactly what I had.
Uh-huh. Hey,
there it is.
2 yards worth.
There you go. Oh, and listen, how did dinner go last night with, because last night was just your parents and you guys, right?
What did we do for dinner last night? Oh, yeah, we went to Orleans. Yeah, that's right. Just had the buffet there. It was all right.
Orleans.
Yeah, so, you know, on Saturday night, it was weird.
The buffets will kill you.
It was Jimmy and Marnie and her parents and Frida and I.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that Jimmy mentioned to me yesterday was he said, I guess because we were all just bombed, I was talking a lot at dinner.
Right.
And I guess that Jimmy didn't get a lot of a chance to work himself into the conversation.
Oh, really?
And one thing he said to me yesterday, did you hear that, Marnie, when he said, hey man, like you didn't let me say anything. It's my father-in-law, and like you spent the whole night talking to him.
Yeah, he said he didn't even get to talk to my dad. No.
Yeah, so
he
didn't
say that.
I felt bad, and I know that last night then you guys were gonna go. So how'd Jimmy do last night? I'm sure he did great, right?
Oh yeah, we just talked about my dad's favorite subject, food, and then today when we went over to say goodbye to him over in their RV. They got to talk then. And then, we also talked about food then, too.
And then Jimmy hit the Benadryl buffet after that.
yeah, the carbohydrate coma is what I call it.
All right, well, listen, Marty, you're wonderful, and I mean that. You know, I love
Thank
my
you.
I love my brother, but, you know, he does need a strong woman. to make sure he's okay. So, you know, I told him in no plain words, don't F it up. I think your father told him the same thing.
he did mention that and kind of giggled.
Nothing a guy likes hearing after he's just gotten married.
don't screw up.
I'm standing next to him and his new father-in-law, and we both said at the same time, don't F this up.
Yeah.
Wow. And listen, dude, Marnie's a good girl. Don't screw this up.
She sounds wonderful. I wish I'd been there. It sounds like a wonderful lady.
And Marnie,
we had a lot of fun, and it was real nice. And I was glad that you guys got to come out, and I got to meet you and Frida, and it was great.
Well, we loved it, and we want to see you guys this summer.
I definitely want to come out there.
All right, Marnie. Well, always good talking to you. Put Umdum back on.
All right. Nice talking to you, too.
Now, that was a very nice conversation.
See how pleasant she is.
And now watch this.
Hello.
My new sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Who, as you can tell, is obviously already, better at just a normal human conversation than my own brother is. Now, granted, we're not flesh and blood. We're adopted, but we're still brothers. You know what I mean?
Jimmy?
Hey, Marnie's mom and dad are planning on coming out to see you.
Coming out to see who, me?
See you.
Why is that?
With Frida. I don't know.
Why is that?
They wanted to verify your address and stuff today.
Oh, I think that I don't think that's because they wanted to see us. I think that we were going to email photos back and forth.
Oh no, they talked about coming out to see you.
Yeah, enjoyed the talk.
You're 1, 2, 3 Main Street, aren't you?
You know, he's burned out and tired, and all he wants to do is work you. That's what he wants to do right now.
Yeah.
Jimmy, you are cracking me up because you are toasty, and you just want to work your brother.
You're kidding. There's no way that your new in-laws are coming out. Why would they want to come see me?
I have no idea.
You're lying. You're absolutely lying. Hey, Jimmy, hold on. Before I let you go here, I thought we had a great weekend. I thought your wedding, seriously, was wonderful. Dinner was great. It was nice seeing you guys yesterday. I mentioned when we were playing blackjack, hey, how about that Miss Saigon, huh? How about her?
No swearing. No cuffing.
Oh, man, she was a pain in the butt.
She was. She was.
No, I mean, that was needless.
Well, there you go.
Needless.
I'm looking for a comment.
Well, Jimmy, I mean,
it's like you weren't swearing at her. You know, you were talking to me, having an adult conversation. She didn't have to put her little 2 cents worth in. Yeah. Screw her.
When do you head back, Jimmy?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning. So this is the last day.
Listen, what can I say? You like I told you, I didn't recognize you, dude. I didn't recognize you. You look so different. You look so grown up. You are a combination of Mac Davis, Michael Madsen.
Kurt Cobain anymore?
No, not with the hair.
Yeah, Don said you've transformed. You no longer look like Kurt Cobain.
And Frida said
not even
thing.
Jesus.
Yeah, no, not well. Maybe Jesus with short hair and a goatee, but I've never seen him all cleaned up. I've only seen him bloody. So, Jimmy, that's it. Have a great wedding. What do you guys? Or wedding weekend? A wedding of
honeymoon?
A honeymoon? Yeah. Thanks, boss. What are you gonna do tonight?
I don't know. Probably just. Call it an early evening, go back and pack all of our crap and eat a good dinner and get ready to leave tomorrow morning.
All right, right on. Well, listen, it was great seeing you. Good luck.
Yeah.
Love you, and much love to Marnie, and tell Marnie's parents it was nice meeting them, but that address is it's fake. Tell them don't drive their RV there because there's no room for it.
Oh, they can park in the cul-de-sac.
He still remembers that.
All right, dude, I will see you later.
Okay, I'll call you later this week.
Hey, listen, now that you're married, come on, tell them married. Everybody has heard you on our show.
We've heard practically the whole ceremony.
Your whole life, even before this, what do you think now? What are your final thoughts now? Now, you're married.
I'm married. I know. That's kind of wild, isn't it?
And now we
nobody thought that I would get married.
And I'll tell you something that was actually quite touching is we were driving away from the ceremony. It's Fred and I in the back seat, and Jimmy is in the rental car up front with Marnie. And when we were sitting at traffic lights and stuff, they're holding hands, and he's saying to her stuff like, you know, I love you so much.
That's
I love
good.
You so much. And she was saying, I love you so much. And, God, what a fag you are.
faggot you are.
You gotta show them the sensitive side once in a while.
That's right. That's right.
I can't be a hard ass all the time.
I know. And besides...
Plus, there was witnesses there, so, you know, got to be cool.
And but before you leave, I hope you get on the gondolas. And how about those live statues, huh?
Oh, awesome, man. Unbelievable.
That Wisconsin.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
See
congratulations,
you.
Jimmy. Congrats.
Thank you.
Best of Marnie. Hey, do you think the in-laws are listening today? They said they might be.
Oh, they say, yeah, they're going to be listening.
They're going to be listening. Can I tell everybody the punchline about what your father-in-law used to do for a living?
Yeah, go ahead.
He was a narc.
Ironic, ain't it?
30 years.
Wow.
30 years of the LAPD.
There you go.
I worked in narcotics. At one point during dinner, there have been many drinks. I leaned over and I said, have you ever run a check on this man, my brother? There's a bunch of nervous laughter, but the answer was no.
Yeah. No.
The answer was no.
So they said.
You know he's ran a check on me.
Oh, of course.
You know he has.
I know he has.
Of course he did. All right, dude.
That's why he didn't talk to me at Emeralds all night.
No, he didn't talk to you at Emeralds because I was drunk and I was just chatty. Come on, you know that.
Just chatty, okay.
You know me. Come on, what do you
think?
How did it go last night? Listen, how did it go last night?
Yeah.
Did you chat him up last night?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, what'd you chat with him
about?
That
was your chance.
I mean, see,
about food, man. We're at a buffet. That's all we're talking about.
See what I did?
How to eat crayfish and...
Here's how you draw someone out in a conversation.
Robert Crayfish.
I asked him a lot of questions about himself and about his family and about his experiences, and that's what got him going.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for you to jump in there, but... You were enjoying your...
All-you-can-eat buffet is the greatest thing in the world because it will satisfy all your cravings.
Yes.
You know who loved a buffet?
Oh.
Joan Crawford.
Oh, I'm buffeted out, man.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Prime ribbed out, you know.
Well, don't lose all your money. You'll have to crail home.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later,
all right, dude.
All right.
We'll talk to you later this
week. All right, I love you. I'll see you.
Okay, dude. Thanks.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
Proverbial thorn in your cray.
Writing's on the whale.
Yes, you see, ladies and gentlemen, it's crawfish.
No, it ain't crayfish.
Some people actually, it's spelled that way sometimes and sometimes pronounced that way.
Oh, really?
We know it as crawfish.
We call it crayfish up in New England.
Yeah, maybe northern. Yeah.
Hello? Is Frida there, please? Frida? You don't? Oh, okay. Oh, God, I forgot her phone number at work. Okay, thanks. Bye. Sorry. Hold on, give me a second.
Also known as crawdaddies and mudbugs.
Mudbugs, the most interesting name for them.
Yeah, tasty.
Did you... Everything all right with the in-laws, though, and Jimmy? You think?
I don't know. I mean, he didn't...
It didn't sound that way.
Hard to tell.
He didn't say a word. But my brother's hard to read like that. Hold on. Let me just get the right number here. I called her on my phone today. Outgoing calls. Boy, is this thing the greatest. There you go. All right.
Yeah.
I don't ever get by without a cell phone. Ah,
it works.
Got it. Here you go. Now they will pick up the phone and say Walmart, and I will say Frida Source, please.
Oh,
there we go. Yeah, Frida Source, please. This is Mike. I'm on the air. Yeah, her husband. Thanks, honey.
Funny, she hasn't mentioned you.
What?
I was just saying, their response was funny, she hasn't mentioned you.
Oh, no, I've called
her. We didn't know that she had a husband.
Yes.
I don't doubt it. I didn't tell her he was going to call her at work today either. It's funny calling her at work, isn't it?
Yeah.
This beep beep, this official beep beep.
I hope they don't transfer you back to Garden or the sports department. You know, I mean, wherever that smiley face is dropping prices.
I'm sorry, we don't have those tires in stock.
Doesn't happen, and we certainly don't have
any blue lyrics in our CD department.
She's got to be outside like greeting people. I just have to apologize for yelling.
Hugs are great.
At 4:30 in the morning. And then I then my
welcome to Walmart.
Then my weekend is tied up in a night in a nice bow. We'll get to Mike's weekend.
Yeah, but I can't. I was thinking about it too because I'm starting to get paranoid about it. I can't talk about it. I'll give you a broad. I'm gonna have to paint with very broad strokes.
Oh, yeah. How broad?
Yeah, very broad.
How broad?
Hello.
Hey,
nothing like a broad.
Hey, here I am calling you at work.
I know, my sugar bear. Would you like me to get my cell phone and step outside?
No need. Listen, you go ahead and conduct your work.
I'm very busy.
I know you are. Just a second. Played your tape. We loved your tape.
Oh, very good.
We talked to Jimmy. We talked to Marnie. We all had a great time, and I just wanted, I guess, I've said this to you in private, but I wanted to say I'm very sorry that I had that meltdown at 4:30 at BWI.
It was not surprising. I know the way. You're not a good traveler on the best of circumstances. I just hope you know you and I will be taking separate planes forever.
But really, honey, now listen, I know you won't scream at me now, and I know you're kidding when you say that. But I know, you won't say this now because you're at work. But really, what was the point? It's 4:30 in the morning. Why are we waiting for a bus? Why don't we pay $5? There are 50 cabs there.
Right. Because I thought, and I was right, that it would just be just as quick. It only turned out to be a few minutes before the bus drove up, before you found the cab driver that was willing to lose his place in line to earn $5 to take you to your parked car and have to find it. It worked out very well. Mm. I just didn't feel like getting into that discussion with you.
Well, I apologize. I did make a scene. For those that were at BWI this morning at 4:30, I was the guy screaming. I made the scene. Sorry about that.
All right, I must go now.
Okay.
All right.
Love you.
I love you too. Bye, sweetie.
Bye-bye.
Now, that was work mode. She was in work mode.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I might want to call her there, like, always because she's so laid back at work.
I think she probably appreciated your apology.
Uh-huh.
During that call, JPS checked in.
Oh, what did he have to say?
He wants a tape of the first three segments of the show.
What's his problem?
He wants to hear it.
Because he was in the car museum.
I'm guessing he feels bad, but he missed it.
I think his bride wants to hear it.
Well, I don't think he feels badly, Buzz. I think he wants the tape. He wants to hear it.
Yeah.
Because Don said we were talking about him during the first 3 minutes, which we were.
He prefers CD to cassette.
Of course he does.
I gave him the choice.
Hey, JPS, what's happening?
Hey, man.
So what? You called to request what? A tape?
Marty wanted to know if we could get a tape of today's show since we missed it.
Yeah, of course. I would hope
she's dying. She's dying to hear it.
Oh, I would
hope. You guys are cracking up on us.
See, we were
my lovely bride.
You'll be very pleased.
Hey, listen, you bastard. There's not one thing said there about your lovely bride. Your lovely bride, frankly, deserves better than you.
You think she does?
You understand what I'm saying? Marnie's a great girl. Any goofing there was done on you. Like, when we're driving by the goddamn sign that's 80 stories high that says, "We'll always remember you, Siegfried and Roy," and I say, "Do you want to dedicate your wedding to Roy Horn?" And you go,
Who's
Roy Horn?
If you would have said Siegfried and Roy, I would have known.
Harmless fun.
It was the last name, Roy Horn.
Anyway, now, listen, I'll send you a tape. Tell Marty there would never be anything bad said about her. Anything bad is said about you.
Oh, okay.
And not
make
even
sure you get the right address.
And not even anything bad was said about you. And some of the guys here had questions. Did things go okay with the?
Yeah, did everything go okay with the father-in-law? Because you were kind of hesitant on that one.
Oh yeah, everything went great with the father-in-law.
And you got a chance to really talk to him. He got to know you a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Dude, you.
Yeah, he thinks I'm all right, guy. I hope.
Good.
Yeah,
listening right now, but you know.
Yeah, so what would you like to say to him now if he's listening right now? Imagine this: you're on Coast to Coast Radio.
Yeah, I'll be nice. Nice to meet you.
Okay, that's all you got.
They can build on that.
Nice to meet you. All right, I'm dumb. I'll see you later.
Okay, Moose.
Okay, bye. Hey, hold on, Fatso. Hey, wait a minute, Fatso.
Oh,
hey, Fatso. Hey, Fatso.
Not me.
Hold on. You are fatter than me. You know it.
No, I am not.
Yes, you are.
I weigh about 222.
Right. Hold on. You started at 235, then it went to 225. Now it's
no. I was up to 235 this winter, but I started to lose. I'm about 222, 225 right now.
Really? Step on the scale right
I'm
now.
I'm 6'1". I'm 6'1", you little short bastard.
I don't care. You're fatter than me. You're fatter than me. You're fatter than me, and you got Mac Davis face.
Mac Davis. Oh, man, you're bad.
All right, have a good time, Jimmy.
I did.
All right, bye.
Congrats.
Goodbye. Oh, that's funny. Those brothers. You two crazy brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are two wild and crazy guys.
Wild and crazy brothers.
Quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
We call the Pope's answering machine.
Very good.
The recorded message you're about to hear is brought to you by Vatican Radio.
Right.
The Pope's Radio.
All right, dude.
This is Alice Cooper, and I wouldn't be caught dead listening to Don Geronimo or Mike O'Meara.
Right.
They make me sick.
I love that joke. Don and Mike Show. I love that joke. You see, it says it's the Pope, but it's really Alice Cooper.
Yes. That's funny.
Like Alice Cooper's the Pope.
They will do you proud every time. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Yeah.
I'll drink to that.
I
got
pizza.
Yes. Yeah. Yard-long margaritas.
That's a lot of tequila.
Mike.
Don. Talk.
Well, you know, here's the deal. Sunday for me, looking to this week ahead, is a stressful week for me because I'm doing something I normally, with my marital situation, my failed marriage, I'm now a part-time.
Oh, now come on.
I'm a part-time dad.
Listen, don't start on that.
But it's the truth. I'm a part-time dad, and sometimes, you have good moments, you have bad moments, you make it work, you do it. It's always a little bit difficult, but you try to make it work. One of the things that came up, and this was in relation to when you called me at the moment where it was difficult yesterday, was that my ex is going off to some third world country to do missionary work with her church group. Because I guess it's her desire to just separate herself from me in totality and feel good about herself by doing missionary work while I, do what I do. Do a radio show and own a bar.
You see what I'm doing right now?
Yeah,
you see
this? Yes, I know you're biting your tongue.
I'm biting my tongue.
I know you're biting your tongue. But here's the deal. I have been, because...
So she's off in a third world country,
right?
But you're still paying her lots of money.
The basic agreement we have is that every other weekend, and this is fairly normal with the joint legal custody of children. I've got my kids every other weekend, and that's Saturday and Sunday, which I call it quality time. And then I have them Monday night, and then just for a little bit Tuesday morning when they're at school. I don't call it quality time because it's basically getting them up and getting them off to school and then a very brief time
Mike,
at night. Yes.
So your wife's taking a missionary position?
I've been dying for a month. I suppose that's...
I've been dying for a month to say that since you told me that.
She's doing something with the church group going down, supplying schools with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been a little nervous about the fact that she asked me about a month and a half ago, a month ago or so, to, hey, can you handle it for the week? And I said, yeah, of course I can handle it for the week. It'll require babysitters, which I don't like all the time because I've got to be here doing the show. And then I'll have a week, and it won't be the quality time. And, it upsets the rhythm of what's going on. But you know what? I'll do it because I love to be with them. I'd rather have them with me than with anybody else, and that's terrific. And I love my kids more than anything in the whole wide world, and we have a great time. And the weekend was fantastic. We had a great weekend. But I thought the whole time that this was going great. I hope that there's no problem with this because they get a little homesick for their mom. And last night it was the moment that the weekend was. Well, there was one other glitch. My oldest daughter is playing baseball. She's a bit of a tomboy.
How old is she now? Eight?
She's 8 years old.
Eight?
And Catherine loves baseball, and I love playing baseball with her, because every dad likes to throw the ball around with his kid. And she's getting better and better. She's playing machine pitch on her little league team. And she had a practice on Saturday, and I went to the practice, and there's this big coach that's throwing hard balls, and the kids aren't, these are 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, they're not coming anywhere near this, and she makes contact. And so I was very proud of her. It wasn't a...
Give that fan a contract.
And really, to make contact, it looked like the coach was 6'8".
I'm sorry, here's the sound.
Yeah. And he's throwing like Roger Clemens fastballs.
Wow. So he's throwing 100 miles an hour at your 8-year-old.
Yeah, yeah, and at one point, he he's throwing wow. he's throwing the ball. It's coming in high and tight a little bit. And at one point, he beans a kid. By accident, of course.
Of course.
But he beans a kid, and I'm like, well, I hope that, you know, and I'm making kind of a big deal about that. You know, he's
I thought you were kidding about it.
No, he beans
the guy really hit a kid.
Then twice, maybe, I think. So we get done with the practice, and we go out into, I take him on a picnic up to the Blue Ridge Skyline Drive. We go up into the mountains, and we have this great picnic, and you know, this is after I've been, my daughter is on a little league team with a bunch of kids that are of parents I know, and so it's really great because I haven't seen a lot of these people in a long time. We're having a good, and I made a big deal about the beaning, and little did I know that while I was throwing the ball with Catherine yesterday up on our wonderful little picnic, and maybe that's when it started to be a little rocky, that I just clocked her. I threw the ball at her, and bam, she goes down. She goes down, but it's a good afternoon.
Down goes Catherine.
It's a fine afternoon. We come back from Skyline Drive. There's no traffic. We got lucky with that. It was terrific. I do have a theory about this national park, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to alert anybody to anything and say maybe we should look at this, yeah. But I think perhaps our national parks ought to be scrutinized, because I don't want to make any statements that would be controversial, but it seems to me there may have been some Al Qaeda operating in the national parks based on some of the picnics. No, I'm not going to say some of them. All of the picnics
around. Wow. Now hold on. What does Al Qaeda eat? What would they?
Well, I don't know what they were eating. I just there were robes and veils. There's a lot of language that I didn't recognize, and here we are far, far away up there, and I'm just kidding, of course. Anyway, but there were three picnic tables, and it was all going around.
Hanging off their hat and making a tablecloth.
It was a very interesting thing. So got out of the national park, and I'm feeling good about the way the day's going, and just about 8 o'clock, I put them down.
It was last night.
This is last night. And I was thinking the whole, you know, and as I put them down, that's when it hits. And that's when the homesickness came, you know, as far as mommy being away for as long as she's been away. And you just react to the whole thing. And what is this music?
Is your wife's, she's away doing missionary
and
work
it just
in a foreign country.
Me, and the whole thing makes me sad, and I get depressed, and I was thinking maybe they'd get a phone call. They didn't get a phone call. And that's when they start to go, you know. And I'm really rigid about Sunday night bedtime. I think if you're a parent and you're putting your kids down on Sunday night, they have the whole week ahead, and that's when bedtime is bedtime.
Yep.
And so it goes from they've got bunk beds, and they start saying, oh, we're not happy. And I'm like, oh, God, what do I say? What do I do? What can I say? Well, how can I make this situation better?
Yeah.
And that's how you feel when you're a part-time parent. You say to yourself, how can you make this situation better? Because there's nothing you can do in a lot of situations. So what I do is I take the little one and I move her up into the top bunk with her sister, and they're still upset. And then I go up to check on them, and I'm thinking, well, they haven't made a sound. They'll be fine. And I go up and I walk into the bedroom, and they're still upset, and they're still crying.
They're upset why? Because
they're having mommy withdrawal, which is understandable.
Sure.
And so I said, okay, come on down. You can go into the big bed, which we call Daddy's bed. They go into the big bed, and they finally get down. And I'm upset. I'm confused. I'm bewildered. No, it's just one of these deals where I get frustrated. I get frustrated with the whole situation, and I'm nervous because of the whole week ahead, because it's longer than I've ever done the school year. I get them for 2 weeks, and we have a fantastic time because I'm there all the time, and I can be there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a week where I'm not there all the time, and for you know, there's no reason in the world why I should stress out about it, because I've got coverage. I've got good people that help me with my daughters, but I'm stressed out, and for whatever reason, I was stressed out all weekend about it, and it was at that point that I had just, when the phone rang, I said, oh, this will be fantastic. You know, the ex will be calling. It'll be great.
Oh, you told me that you said to your kids when the phone rang, oh, look,
yeah,
this is mommy calling now.
Yeah.
And instead, it was mean bastard Uncle Don calling from Las Vegas to say to Daddy that maybe I wouldn't be.
Well, they weren't
today.
Yeah, it was, and I was. You got that reaction,
and you told me that when you said it's not mommy that they started crying.
Sorry. It's one of those deals where, you know, and I that's why, you know, and then I'm sitting here. Yeah, no problem. No, that's fine. That's fine. When in fact I was just kind of exasperated and just kind of frustrated, and you get like that. And Sundays, for whatever reason, which I, here's the deal. Sundays are difficult in a, when you go through something that that we have gone through. It is a difficult day because Sunday usually, for anybody, for the nuclear family, is the nuclear family day. Mm. And it's kind of a messed up day. And the whole thing, I feel bad. I feel bad. You know, I don't feel bad for me. I feel bad for them. And I wish it was better, but you do the best you can. And for anybody, there are millions of us that have gone through this type of thing. It is very, very frustrating. And there's nothing you can do about it except make the best you make the best of it you can, because they're great kids biting the tongue. Because you know what? It's not productive. I beat myself up because I'm not going to beat anybody else up. And I'm not going to, because there's no point in doing that on the radio. I'll save that private show for you. How's that? All right? You get that private show. I know it kills you.
You treat some people too nice.
You've always been my biggest advocate, and I appreciate that.
Just say the truth. If mommy's going to be out of the country, she says call.
I know.
Just freaking call.
I know. It was, but I think it's going to be fine. It's going to be just fine. But that's why I think you got the reaction that that you got, which was not the best one.
Yeah, I understand.
It was, you know, we all deal with our stuff. We all deal with our crap.
Can I ask you something about your wife that would be? I would ask you if you were still married to her.
Okay.
I would ask you if you were dating her.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is she doing to go into some foreign country doing missionary work?
I have no idea. I couldn't answer that.
I mean, I'm not busting your balls.
I couldn't answer that.
I
don't ask.
Did you ever get the sense from her the whole time that you were married that she had that in her?
Yeah. I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of a need for, you know, that end of, you know, being spiritual, and that's how she's dealing with her stuff, and, you know, perhaps the way she's dealing with it, that's how she's getting finding her peace with me, you know, I'm fine. You just give me a bottle of Jameson's Irish whiskey, I'll be fine.
You know, I'm no lawyer,
mm-hmm.
but it seems to me, you know, if you're gonna work, you know, doing volunteer work,
mm-hmm.
You don't really need expenses, does it?
No, you don't need it that way. Just stop it!
Hey.
No.
I'm on your side, Tiger.
I know you are.
I'm on your side. Jeez.
I understand.
I know. Yes, you do, really. Just buy her a cell phone. Just FedEx a cell phone over to Zimbabwe or wherever she is. She calls. With a note inside. Just say, hey, incidentally, hello. And call.
Yeah, I will.
Sorry.
I'll do that.
I'm sorry, Mike.
Yeah, no.
I really am.
Thank you for biting your tongue. I'm sorry.
I really am sorry, Mike.
I appreciate that.
Sorry.
But you see how that worked for you?
Sometimes it's tough.
You see, now hold on a second. Can I just tell you?
Yeah.
And now I'm not going to bite my tongue. You see that? That woman that just walked by?
Yeah.
You see the look that she gave you?
Yeah.
You know the look she gave you?
What's that?
She gave you that look that said, oh, compassionate guy.
Uh-huh.
Single dad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, but I have a girlfriend too. So,
I know you do.
So I'm okay.
Hey, but come on, you're not married.
It's fine.
You're not married, right?
You know the thing that's important that I should mention about my ex.
But there was a girl out there that walked by, was giving Mike the eye like.
No, she was not.
She was looking at.
I should say that my ex never objects to my missionary work in Las Vegas, which is really the way I look at it.
You've helped so many.
My work in Las Vegas and Atlantic City.
Yeah,
I'm giving back
spiritually.
So the way I look mm-hmm. at it, mm-hmm. I'm giving. I you know what? Those people down there, those blackjack dealers. I'm keeping them employed. The bartenders, the room service people.
You minister right. to them.
Maids, check. Well, you're a good dad. I got the great. You know what? And I don't say this enough. And you know, I'm going to say it more. I'm going to say it more. The older they get, and they know I mean it. I have the two greatest kids in the world.
Mm.
I do.
Cool.
Mine's a big load.
You love him as much as I love my kids.
Mine's 19, though. He's a big load. I won't bore you with this now, but we're starting to already have the discussions. He's going to be home from college in 2 weeks. He's done with finals in 2 weeks.
You got him for the summer?
And yes, we are now just in the beginning. We're in the get-go stages of mm-hmm. the no credit card, no money.
Oh, boy.
Get a job or, you know, get used to sleeping on the floor.
Hey, you know what? The rules are done. I mean, when you go to college, you come back, you work. It's work time.
That's the way it works.
It's what I did.
And while you guys are talking about kids, I feel compelled to say that Julia is beautiful and smart and Robert is strong.
There you go. Catherine is fantastic.
Hello.
Great. great baseball player.
No, wait a minute, hold on.
And Elizabeth is a wonderful performer.
Julia is wonderful.
Oh, she's smart.
And smart. And, Rob,
smart.
And Robert
and
is strong.
Very strong.
Robert is strong as bull.
He's got the strength of two babies. So I think in a way that's good.
The,
right?
At this point, that's the contribution
for Robert. That's what we've got right now. And fat, he can be fat.
Oh,
right.
You know what? You're a bastard. Because someday I'm gonna say that to him. I'm that child's godfather. But your thing is, his sister. You're coming to say Julia is very smart and very wonderful. And Robert, well,
he's strong.
Very strong.
Yeah.
What, that's not a compliment.
Hey, Robert, your dad just said you're like a retard.
Oh, no.
I'm gonna play this for him when he's old enough to understand what that word means.
Very strong.
Although I'm sure he already understands the word. doesn't he probably answer to the word already?
Yes, he answers to the word strong.
Hey, we're smart. Come here, smart. And then here comes Julie going, hey, come here, smart.
Hello.
Smart and cute. Now, and
here's my Mensa student right there. Well, here comes the Incredible Hulk.
I strong.
Me hungry.
Well, we got a break. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Here's the way I see it, Ted. Guy puts a fancy guarantee in a box because he wants you to feel all warm and toasty inside.
Yeah, makes a man feel good.
Of course it does. Why shouldn't it? You figure you put that little box under your pillow at night, the guarantee fairy might come by and leave a quarter. Am I right, Ted?
What's your point?
The point is, how do you know the fairy isn't a crazy glue sniffer? Build a model airplane, says the little fairy. Well, we're not buying it. He sneaks into your house once, that's all it takes. Next thing you know, there's money missing off the dresser and your daughter's knocked up. I've seen it 100 times.
But why do they put a guarantee on the box, then?
Because they know all they sold you was a guaranteed piece of shit. That's all it is. I got spare time. But for now, for your customer's sake, for your daughter's sake, you might want to think about buying a quality product from me.
Okay, I'll buy from you.
Alex! What?
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Syphilicious. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah, Don, you got him?
Well, you know, police found pot on one of Reuben Sutter's tour buses in Ohio.
Uh-oh.
You know, I can't see Reuben doing pot.
Pot pies, yes.
But not pot.
There you go.
Hey, Mike.
You got your list of jokes for today.
These are off the top of my head.
Okay.
President Bush jogged around the South Lawn with a soldier badly wounded in Afghanistan. Man, he can't take any competition, can he?
God.
And my excuse for not making the tax deadline last week?
What's that?
Stacy's mom's got it going on.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
If you played that record, Stacy's mom's going on.
Right.
There's a whole list of them. I didn't make the tax deadline because when I got to line 47, my head exploded because I took steroids from Barry Bonds and I've grown so big I can't get out of the house. I was trying to e-file. I have AOL. Muff said.
God.
What is the? I don't use the phrase that I want to. What is their deal with Barry Bonds jokes? They're not.
Yeah,
funny.
I mean Barry Bonds all the time.
Guys, running guys, he's timely.
No, he's
topical.
There's some guy from the Bay Area. That's
yeah,
what it is.
Exactly.
There's a guy from the Bay Area that submits those.
Mm-hmm. Baseball sleeves up.
It's easy.
Listen, this is a great story. I try to find you stuff that you're not going to see on the regular news.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First, let me say. Before any lawsuits get thrown, I love Kevin Spacey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kevin Spacey is one of our most talented actors.
Unquestionably.
I would put him in the top five.
Yep.
Okay?
Easily.
However, I think he likes boys and girls.
Well, there have been stories written about that.
Mm-hmm. Now.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Now, you tell me. I'm going to give you the setup here. And you tell me what you think.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to read an angle into this. But I'm going to tell you the story.
Okay.
You're not alone. Kevin Spacey lied to the cops, and here's why he lied to the cops. He pretended that he was attacked in a park in London at 4 o'clock in the morning. He was walking his dog in, Geraldine Mary Hamsworth Park
in South London on Saturday, 4 a.m. So,
a little odd to be out walking a dog.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Hello!
Now, I think he was out trolling for faggots, but that's just me.
Right.
You know, maybe his dog really did have to go to the bathroom, and he said, well, let's go to this.
Maybe he's an early riser.
Kevin Spacey, age 44, what happens is he's out walking his dog, and here's the truth, at least what he's saying the truth is now. He was out walking his dog because his dog had to go to the bathroom. A kid walked up to him and said he had a sob story that he wanted to call his mom. Kevin Spacey said, really? The guy says, yes, I need to call my mom. Can I use your phone? Kevin Spacey says, this is such a good con that I actually dialed. I said, what's the number? You know, 555-1212, whatever it is. That Kevin Spacey dialed the phone number, and when somebody answered, they said, you know, they said, hello. They said,
hello.
He gave the phone to the kid.
Mm.
And then the kid took off and stole his phone.
Okay.
So Kevin Spacey says now he was so upset he ran after the kid who stole his phone. And he tripped over his dog. And winded up falling in the street and hitting himself in the head. So he's bleeding rather profusely. He's very upset. So what does he do after all of this? Of course, he goes to the cops and he tells them that he has been mugged. He says, I am Kevin Spacey, I am a star.
So even if he's telling the truth about the kid and all that, he lied initially and said he was mugged.
Yeah. And
that doesn't make sense.
And here now is his statement. Kevin, I'm going to read it specifically. I woke up after a couple of hours sleep, and I thought, you know, there's a difference between assault and some kid stealing my phone. And it just wasn't on me not to come clean about my own level of embarrassment and being humble at the fact that I got taken by an old con. I want to apologize to the police, any readers, and anyone who picks up this story. And then they ask him. The BBC says, you know, hey, Mr. Spacey, what were you doing in this park at 4 o'clock in the morning?
Good question.
My doggie had to go. That's what he says. Mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey, the liar. So anyway.
Answering nature's call.
Yes, but he says he's sorry.
And we'll never know the answer to the other thing,
whether
he was out there,
Come on, what's he doing?
But if you're going to do that, but here's the only thing I would say. If you're going to do that, why do you bring your dog with you?
And here's
protection.
Conversation
starter.
No, right. Listen, I'm not kidding. Like a single guy who's out with a cute dog, a cute little dog. I mean, like a guy who's a regular guy.
Yes.
But a regular guy. It works.
How do you know this?
It works because I seen it on a sitcom.
I tell you
what else works too. I reckon this will work. The baby.
Right. Oh, a baby, yeah.
You're a guy out with a baby.
Right.
So maybe he's out looking for...
That's an odd time to do it.
4 a.m.?
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to know more about the park. I'd like to know if the park if it's a known pickle park. If it's a pickle park, then...
All right, well, somebody out there, do some research on this and find out.
Very good.
Dogs work.
Well, maybe we'll find something.
Buzz, why don't you do a search?
All right.
Of course, it's not going to come up like on Google that it's a big... Yes.
It's a gay hangout.
Anyway, the name of the park is... Geraldine Mary Harmsworth Park. See, right there. Doesn't that just scream Mo?
Well, that's every British name.
I know. Geraldine Mary Harmsworth Park in Lambeth, Lambeth, South London. While you're looking at that, anyway, Kevin Spacey, I still like him.
Oh, yeah, I like him, and you know,
it's weird, why would you lie?
If he's not saying why he was out there, at least he really did come clean about the circumstances, and that's not bad.
So dogs work, babies work, but we found lobsters do not work.
Lobsters repel people, Rob. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now,
especially with bad British accents.
And he was in Great Britain.
This apprentice is gigantic. That last week it beat American Idol, beat CSI, it beat absolutely everything. Oh, and Mike was asking me before the show if I watched The Sopranos last night. Mm-hmm. I didn't because, you know, the thing with the planes.
Rob and I are disagreeing on
that. Give me a pass till tomorrow on The Sopranos.
You
I'll watch
pass,
it tonight.
And I told you, because Rob liked it, I did not. It was the second one in a row that I did not care for. And I want to, you're going to have to be the arbiter here. You're going to have to actually
break the tie.
Because I just thought it just doesn't.
It's the second one in a row where they're
moving away from the fact that these guys are gangsters.
Monsters.
Come on. I have to tell you that this morning, you know, even with getting in late, I woke up. I wanted to watch something. I had the choice last night with Thibaut, both 24 and The Sopranos
right.
on at the same time. Mm-hmm. I watched 24. You know, it was like, for me, it was a little mini ratings thing. Which do I really want to see to be able
right.
to, not only to talk about on the radio, but which do I want to see? Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I chose 24 because mm-hmm. Jack Bauer shot the guy. Now, Jack Bauer
the bad guy?
No, a good guy.
The
Father Intontelli from The Sopranos.
Oh, okay.
He's dead.
Gone.
And they did it in great 24 fashion at 6:59.
Mm-hmm.
59.
So he shoots him and bam, the show's over. Yeah, that's right.
Just when you think, because he gives the guy the gun and the guy's got the gun to his head and he says, I can't do this, Jack. I can't do it. And then Jack goes behind him and puts the gun to his head and Kiefer Sutherland says, God forgive me. You're a good man. And I'm thinking, because the clock is going.
Why did he kill him?
Click, click, because a terrorist ordered the president to. Because a terrorist has an agent,
a biological
agent
right.
that could kill people. So, you know, come on.
Jack Bauer kills the guy just to save a lot of more people, but
mm-hmm.
but he really killed a good man.
Yep. Think so, although he might end up being a weasel. I don't know. Either way, that's the great thing about 24 is that,
you know,
especially towards the end of the year, mm-hmm. they start killing them off like flies.
Yeah.
every week somebody else drops. But all of that pales now to this Apprentice thing, which is ridiculous that everybody loves this. Oh, and I don't have a story about this, but I have heard speculation. I was talking to a guy in Las Vegas yesterday about, what's the woman's name that everybody hated on the
Omarosa.
Yes, that Omarosa. She was given a separate deal by Donald Trump and by the producers before the show.
Ooh.
Saying, you're not going to win this competition, but if you go on the show and you're a real bitch on wheels, and when it gets down to the
challenge, that will unravel it.
Yeah, and when it gets down to the challenge, like if you remember during her last challenge,
if that comes out and proves to be true, they're in trouble.
If you remember her last challenge, where Kwame was trying to get Jessica Simpson
right.
to perform it, and she took a phone call that was from Jessica Simpson, and she just hung up on her. Mm. She went out of her way to screw up Kwame. There's a theory going around now that I heard from this guy in Vegas, and it makes sense to me, that maybe they go to her before the show and they say, listen, you're going to be the one that really screws things up, but don't worry, we're going to pay you or give you a job.
Yeah, if that's the case, then that'll be like the $64,000 question. I think we like our reality.
21.
We like our reality show's reality.
I saw that they've already implied that she may be a part of next season, because they said you never know who you're going to see, and they showed her picture.
Uh-huh.
But I heard that she won't be on the next one because the Donald really didn't like her.
So, there's a million stories.
There's
about
a lot of stories out there.
They love the
stories. However, I will tell you this, that Kwame Jackson, the guy that lost, he's hit the jackpot. However, please, does it have to be the black guy that gets the endorsement for Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Is that really what happened?
Does it really have to be?
Really?
Yeah, that's right. Hello there! This am Kwame Jackson. Maybe you've seen me on The Apprentice with the Donald Trumps. I sure do like me Kentucky Fried Chicken.
So that's the endorsement that he got?
That's his commercial.
Well, that's interesting.
He got $25,000 from KFC. Hold on. TVGuide.com says he's not signed yet. He wants more money.
Well, good.
Yeah, well, he ought to try to get as much as he can.
He wants some more money, but come on. Is that the best you can do for Kwame, KFC?
Well, maybe he'll pick up with somebody else.
I mean, for goodness sakes.
Take one.
Bye, please.
Funniest tape we have, in my opinion.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Sanders.
Take two. I found a way to cook extra crispy. Come on over and try my crispy. It's entirely different. And yet it's just as tender and tasty. No. And it's just as finger-licking good. Right? You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that real crispy crust that some folks like. And it's just as tender and juicy, and I'll get it now. I found a way to cook chicken deep down and get that crispy, real crispy chicken crust. Yet it's entirely different.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
This will be Wild Lines 30, take one.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Stop again.
He said cut it. And now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from.
Uh-oh.
Yet tender and juicy.
That's great.
It's better.
Take two.
Colonel, if you read it.
Colonel?
Okay, we're recording.
Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe.
Take three.
It's entirely different.
They all say crispy.
It's entirely different. Whatever, but it's, now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Let me get that scratch off of there.
Yeah, that'll help.
Quiet, please.
We're rolling.
Real crusty, real what? Crusty. Kind of damn crispy.
Crispy.
It's really different. Now you can have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken to choose from. My regular recipe and my new extra crisp. Now you have two kinds of Kentucky Fried Chicken.
This goes on. We got a break. The Colonel Sanders thing goes on and on. I know.
Every bit of his finger licking good, you see. You see, I found a way to cook chicken deep down to get that real crispy crust some folks like.
Uh-huh.
I better do that again, huh?
Yes.
You don't want me to sing, do you?
We're rolling. This is the good one.
Most folks.
Okay, all right, you get it. That's,
oh, God.
That's Colonel Sanders. Bring him back. Have Kwame do that.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't have time for this other stuff. Let's take your calls. At 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. Your calls on the rotating random phone scan. These are unscreened calls from across North America. Call us right now. I didn't get to tell you that Tom Brokaw is retiring. There's a new boxing show on Fox. I'm opposed to this national TV turnoff week. I'll rap about that tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
James Brown is still being James Brown.
James Brown, hey.
Hold on. The top 100 movie characters of all time. Rob, let's save this list.
Oh, man. Now, can you tell me who put the list out?
Premier Magazine.
Okay, get ready for subjective garbage.
Yeah, you got that. And hold on. Oh, here you go. Let's end on this. This will be our button. At Spotlight on Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Somebody please shoot me now.
What?
Gordon Lightfoot will be touring again in July.
Hey.
Wow. He had a blood vessel burst in his abdomen.
Sundown.
he's recovering from muscle grafts in his abdomen from his legs. So they took stuff from his abdomen and put them in his legs.
Oh, dear.
He, of course, best known, Mike, for Sundown, If You Could Read My Mind, and possibly the song that I think drove a lot of teenage boys to suicide because they got played so much. The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Superior, it said, never gives up her dead on the big lake they call Gitchigumi.
How many times you be out driving, you turn on the AM station, you know, the big top 40 station, you got your girl there, that song comes on, and it's like,
right.
Ruined mood. Hello, where's Barry White?
But Superior, it said, never gives up its dead.
Anyway, he's fine. And Mike, here's his quote.
What?
My diaphragm's in order.
My diaphragm's in order. And I'll sing you a song before I'm dying.
And Kill Bill was number one.
Yes.
Kill Bill 2 was number one. I'm surprised that movie did good business. That did.
You're surprised that Kill Bill did well?
Yeah, because the first one didn't do great.
Really?
Yeah.
This one was hyped the right
way.
They
say this one's better.
This one made $25 million, supposed to be very bloody.
I thought the first one sucked.
Incidentally,
did Gord like it?
Pardon me?
Did Gord like it?
Gord Lightfoot?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I've got an aneurysm in my belly.
He's almost out of the top 10 now, JC.
Yeah.
JC dropped to ninth place.
Look at that. Hey, everybody's got a shelf life, and even Jesus does.
Easter's over.
That's it. Jesus' 15 minutes of fame are over. It's Kill Bill 2, The Punisher, Johnson Family Vacation, Hellboy. Hold on.
That Hellboy's got legs.
Yeah,
sure
for does.
Some reason.
You're goddamn right. Home on the Range, Scooby-Doo 2.
Yeah, my kids loved it.
Walking Tall, Ella Enchanted, Jesus, and then the Alamo. But Jesus only...
Hey, the Alamo.
Yeah.
The Alamo is the big stinker.
Yeah, the big stinker is the lady who did my big fat Greek wedding.
Oh, that's right.
Her opening was at number 13.
What's it like, Connie and...
Was that the drag movie?
Yeah, with David Duchovny. Oh,
anyway, so Jesus is...
See, nobody knows it. Yeah. I just, when I look around when I say that, nobody knows the title of that movie.
No, but we know it's got her in it.
Yeah, Sucky
David
and
Duchovny
Sucky.
In a drag movie? How can that be?
Anyway, Jesus is rapidly falling out of the top 10.
Wow. Can we quote you that Jesus is 15 minutes or up?
Yeah.
People have been saying that for 2,000 years.
Your calls, and next on the phone scan. Dial recklessly, you animal.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You're our singer.
WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
How can I ever repay you?
Well, the reward would be good. There is some damage to my car. It's a high-performance machine, so I had to fill it with premium.
Would you like for me to take your pants off instead?
Let me think. Sure.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Baker Science Building.
Hello. Hello.
The sacred time. The time for Don and Mike.
Right, right.
Hello.
Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Swing it. Okay, phone scan. And we are running desperately late on time today. Because, Buzz, you got a lot of news and comments today, right?
Good stuff, yeah.
Okay, then let's get to these phone calls. Right now, you, ladies and gentlemen, are the only roadblock between us and the last hour of the show.
Very good.
Today's been a perfect show. Let's not screw it up in this segment.
It's a miracle.
Let's not screw it up in this segment.
Please not. I say to you guys, please no.
Because at our end, it'll be perfect.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. What's up, man?
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
Please do not mess up the show.
I'll try not to. Hey, I'm over here at Carpenter, man, and I've been listening to you guys for 4 years. You guys rock, man.
Thank you, my friend.
I was close to Culpepper over the weekend up at the big, Al-Qaeda hideout.
Yeah. That's pretty nice, but it gets me through my work day. It's been tough.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right, man. You have a good one.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
That wasn't too bad.
Hey, Don and Mike Show.
Simply a compliment.
Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi there.
Mike, I work at the theater right across from Hank's Look Around Cafe. I finally got a chance to stop in the other day, and I wanted to pass along a compliment.
Hank's Look Around Cafe.
That's the one. It was an awesome experience. I love what you've done with the place, and we're going to make it a regular Saturday night hangout. After
well, thank you very much. That's terrific. And please, Mike, sure you try the latest cuisine.
I haven't been in a while.
Thanks.
So
look around.
I wouldn't be able to tell you what cuisine. I just happened to be in there.
Very busy. Don't forget, if you order the clam chowder,
yes,
find the fingernail, and your meal is free.
That is completely unfair. It's a marble.
You know, Mike, I never knew that your restaurant was so close to the historic theater district of Manassas.
Hello.
Great for after-show dining.
I'm trying to think where the theater is. I think there is a theater
the
there.
The theater.
Is it
the
more
theater
show bar?
It's the theater district.
Is it? You know what it is? It's probably one of those, no offense, it's probably, I don't want to say cheapos, it's probably one of those like where you pay 99 cents to go.
No, I think it's a
regular.
I think it's a Broadway style theater.
A legitimate stage?
No, I think it's stage. What's it like a Dixie Stampede? That thing?
No.
It's Myrtle Beach.
No, it's a stage. I think they put Shakespeare on there.
No, actually, you're mistaken.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding.
No, Shakespeare for ye.
I am not kidding. It's true that in Manassas, the Mousetrap has been playing without interruption.
No.
1947.
I am not one. I can't guarantee it, and I wouldn't want to do that, but I would guarantee that the theater that guy was talking about is a theater where they have played Shakespeare.
Hey, Juliet! It's me, Romeo! Hey, send some of that hair down here!
To be or not to be. I
after dinner dining at O'Mara.
Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Toronto, Canada. I just want to say we really enjoy your show up here. It's a wonderful way to get home. Stuck in traffic every day.
Of course. Everything good comes from America, my friend. You got traffic in Canada?
Oh, yeah. We got real traffic here. Yeah. But, hey, I just want to say good luck on the girls while Mom's away. And I wonder if you could help me out. I've been trying to call Howard Stern's program. Just at the beginning of the year, there was a psychic that called up, and she predicted that Howard Stern would be off the air in about 4 months or 5 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really weird that, you know, what's going on now. It appears that he might actually be off the air.
Yes, let me give you a website, okay? Hold on a second, please.
Okay.
That's, you know, I'm very vain. I don't like talking about other districts.
I know you don't. I know. Absolutely. So give him the information.
Dude, you're off the air, okay?
We're funny.
It's done. First thing, you know, even though I know we're on, what do you listen on, the Buffalo station? Okay, we're on the same station as Howard. Mm-hmm. You know, let's face it. He's got a special deal with the company. The company will stand up for him and not for us. But we know that's the way. But listen, if you want to find out about the stuff you were talking about, here's the website. www.seaclovers.com.
That's it.
Now I'm going back on the air. Hold on a second.
Very good. Mm-hmm. And you were able to help.
Right, you got it?
Yeah, I think you have to repeat that again, if you don't mind.
If you didn't get it the first time.
Yeah.
No. Nope.
Sorry.
You are SOL.
Do a Google search, so to speak. Hello, it's Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, two calls in a row from Canada. Love your show, but this is for Rob. Is Rob there?
Yeah.
Rob is right here in the studio.
Go.
Okay. Hey, Rob, listen, I just wanted to quell one of your fears about us coming to attack you. We've only got about 100 military members, so if we were ever to come and attack, we'd have to get the Boy Scouts and the Girl Guys to come after you.
That's exactly what you want us to think, isn't it? we're watching, but don't worry, life will work.
I am delighted. We have now Canadians that are tracking with the Rob. They're going to attack us, Joe.
Hello.
I love that.
Don and Mike, they're coming.
Hello. Mike, Radio God.
Hi there, you're on the air.
Hey, we love you guys in Wisconsin. You guys are awesome. You get me through every day.
Thank you, my friend. Yeah, great to be on in Wisconsin.
Yeah, we love you guys. Listen, we could do a contest maybe for rename Rob's kid, you know, the one that's very strong. I was thinking like maybe call him Little Lou.
Well, he's not deaf yet.
Little Lou.
Yeah.
Little Lou.
Give him some time in the Spiewak home. He will be deaf. It will either be, as Rob will say.
Well, how many times a day can you hear,
Terry? Yeah, exactly. They'll say it's an accident, you know, that he accidentally turned the TV up real loud.
Uh-huh.
But it'll be...
We have a word that we call deafness in my house. It's called a blessing.
Hello. Not in my show.
Hi, guys.
The blessing.
And incidentally, in my house, it's a prayer. It's not been answered.
I keep trying every day.
As he lets me down again.
Every day you pray for that.
Hey, don't forget, your 15 minutes is almost up, dude. You just barely beaten Billy Bob Thornton.
You be careful, you know, if you pray for that deafness.
Yeah.
I'm the only one on the show. Sometimes you get it.
Well, no, I don't want it for you, Mike. I want my wife to be deaf.
I know, but I prayed for deafness for many, many years, and look what happened to me. Now I'm going, Tando!
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Well, great. Thank you.
Hi. Good. You guys are the kings.
Yes,
I love you.
You're right. We're so good. Mm. What can we
you
do
are.
For you? What can we do for you, peasant?
This is mostly for Mike.
You may approach.
Mike.
What?
Your many talents. I mean, you have so many.
Listen, I know. You don't have to tell me that.
Listen, please.
I hear it every day.
You're speaking to one of the lords here. A commoner, if you could please just keep your message to King O'Mara.
Yes.
Briefly, 5 seconds or less.
Come on now. Go get to it.
King O'Mara, I love all your voices, but the thing that cracks me up the most is when Don gets on a rant about something and you go, oh, dear.
Do I say that?
I love that. That just cracks me up every time.
I've been told that. Yeah, I'm sorry we don't have more time. I've been told that hundreds of times, that sketch where you'll you know that when we'll rehearse it.
Oh, that gag, yeah.
Don will say, all right, I think, we have discussions about it. We'll say, I think the oh, dear, if it comes in here,
yeah.
that'll
Mike, that's where your theater background comes
in. Yes, the oh, dear.
That is really one of your best catchphrases.
Thank you, Rob.
Don and Mike show.
My best to Little Lou.
Hello.
Hey, Don, I called to tell you, my favorite part of the show is when you do your impersonation of the Kwame type guy.
Oh, now, listen now, looky here.
Yeah, hello there.
Hello there, but listen, leave the driving to me on that.
I know.
Okay. That's all. You know, the Kwame Tide guy.
Mike, you know, what can I say?
But it's great when they get... And there's certain impressions, don't you think, they just don't need to be spotlighted, right?
Well, you know, this is the time for the commoners.
Uh-huh. They're just calling in with their love.
These are time for the common folks to call us.
They want
to
play.
They're kings.
Yeah.
We are the kings of the modern round table.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And just showering us with gifts today.
Yes, hello.
Incredible.
Hello.
Knave.
Peasant, pigeon brain listener.
Gravel.
Hello, yes.
Sound like I'm no regular.
Oh. Gravel to us, please.
Oh, this is Clooney.
Dear.
Who is this?
Clooney, I want to take your famous sex quiz.
Who is this?
This is George Clooney. I want to take your world famous sex quiz.
Yeah, that sounds like George Clooney.
Yes, good. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don, Mike, how you doing today?
We're doing great, thanks.
Okay, just a little bad news for you, Don. When you came to Vegas, you were helping support the FCC.
Oh, I know the NAB was in town.
No, you help support the FCC. The guy from the Senate that helped sponsor the bill that's in the Senate right now is Senator John Ensign. His family is the majority shareholder of Mandalay Bay Resort Group.
No.
Oh, BFD. But the NAB was there, the National Association of Broadcasters.
Yes, they were. You didn't make it to that circle, did you?
No, I didn't. We drove by, and I just said, look at those losers.
There you go.
Hey, we saw Ted Koppel.
Ah.
Hey, incidentally, Ted, that hair dye is really working out great for you. I'm serious.
Did it look good in the Las Vegas sun?
I know we goof buzz about his hair, but don't you remember Ted Koppel's hair kind of being like maybe a little... almost...
Salt and pepper.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Not anymore.
Really?
It's like Ronald Reagan hair.
Does it look real? It might be dyed, but does it look like he's still got it?
Looks real. Wow. Looks real, but looks dyed.
Oh, there you go.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Oh, dear.
Hello.
Don and Mike, you guys got the best show ever. Goose punching out.
Okay. Goodbye. Now,
there he goes.
This is all it's going to be. We can only continue like this for another hour or so.
I could go on.
Hello, Don and Mike. No, we got to wind this up. Cyber Buzz. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Source, O'Mara.
Right.
Elston.
Yeah.
Guys, this is the Son of God.
Hey, what's happening, Jesus?
I wanted to tell you that you are 100% correct. There is a 99-cent theater down the way from Hank's Look Around Cafe.
Oh. Hank's Look Around Cafe.
All right.
A 99-cent theater? Not the one that's across the street, though.
No, it's down near Tony's Pizza, down the road, down 28.
No, that's not the one he was talking about.
But that's a really great deal to see a Shakespeare play for under a buck.
Yeah. Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, Larry. I'm a journalism student.
Is your agent vigorous? I mean, I know I'm doing another Larry King tape.
Hi, Larry.
I know what you're doing.
What a good boy.
Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Don Mike.
Yes, we are. Yes. Hi.
You chubby bear studs, how are you?
We're doing great, thank you.
Well, I want to... Remember a month ago you had that Fat Love website on?
We had... Hold on, that means you're the last caller. But yeah, Chubby Chaser, right, yes.
Right. Well, I get some website, and I'm not BSing when I say this. It's a website that features fat men and old men. They sell videos on it. That's all they sell.
Like, what's the website? Buzz, are you on the web?
Yes.
What is it?
It's prsimon.com. PRSIMON.
PRSimon.com.
Yeah. I did website work for them, and they have, that's all they sell is like videos with fat men and old guys like over 50.
And how did you.
Are they gay?
Are they naked?
They're porn movies.
Gay porn? With fat guys and old guys. And. What's your story for how you happened upon this website?
Well, I do. That's what I do for a living.
Hold on, Buzz. Turn the monitor around. Let us see what it is.
You don't want to see this. Yeah, nobody wants to see this.
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
look at that. Hold on a second. Take a look at that. Yuck.
Wait a minute. That's amazing.
Hold on. What is that?
Look what it is.
Oh, that's a fat guy who's pleasuring himself.
Yes, not good. Not good all of us.
Hold on. What was your excuse again for finding this?
I did website work for them. I worked on their website.
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I was a star too, right?
Yeah. Okay, come on. That's you.
Yeah.
That's your picture.
Yeah, right. No, I'm not.
Yeah, right.
Wow, you know, I want to give the last caller a prize, but should we give this guy a prize?
Sure, give him a prize.
All right.
We were mildly entertained.
Thank you.
What's your name there?
I was really entertained.
Patrick,
where are you from?
In the San Francisco area.
Okay, hold on. Then you've got, I got to find the national prize. Hold on, here you go. The Sopranos prize pack. Hell, have no fury like the family. Don't miss the all-new episode of Sopranos. That's this Sunday at 9, 8 Central. And don't forget Deadwood right after. That's on HBO. Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much. Of course
you're from San Francisco. Of course you know where they are.
Oh, of course.
Now burn that website.
Stay off the internet.
I never want to see that again.
Of course you are. Where's Lydia on that site?
On the next page.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
You go to that website, and God, don't. But there's a guy on there.
it's
Rob, this is Legion Team. With you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame.
There's a guy laying on the bed who weighs about as much as these guys, and he's
scary. I felt like I was looking in a mirror.
I just want to say, you know, with these new rules, I got to be careful, but
yeah.
That guy's so fat, he must have, his arms must be like 6 feet long.
Pretty amazing. What happened?
I don't see how he could possibly.
Oh, it depends on the position you get it.
Buzz,
yes.
What is your lead story on your news show tonight?
Today, kids don't try this at home. Porn actors say they'd work despite the new AIDS scare.
Oh, boy.
Did we open up, Buzz? Did we open? No, we didn't open up.
In a world where the radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It was Buzz.
He made it up.
I played the song, but didn't officially open it.
There you opened it. So, Buzz, you gave us a story. It's kids.
That's no, it's not about kids. It's what kids shouldn't do. They shouldn't follow the porn actors.
You shouldn't. You're just keeping kids in porn actors. It's a matter. Mrs. Spicoli, you're on dangerous ground here.
Where's that website? I'm now fascinated with that website.
I've bookmarked it for you.
We'll look at it during the break.
Okay. Mike, this has all been...
Stay tuned for news and comments.
Me tired.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Me so tired. Thanks, America West. Mike, that was very...
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Let me tell you about tomorrow's show.
Keep the secret, my precious love.
Yes, please.
The Don and Mike Show.
Tomorrow, hopefully, I've been talking about this for a week, and it's going to be such a letdown when we finally do it. I think you'll like this game, though. It's a new one called My Mother is a Whore.
Wow.
We'll play that for cash and prizes tomorrow. Also tomorrow, we have Joe's movie reviews, and we've still got this, Joe actually would like the 1950s movies.
Right.
This one is Alcohol, what is it?
Dynamite, and they don't mean it in a good Jimmy Walker way.
And we've got that Arnold Schwarzenegger thing from 1982 where he's doing an aerobics class.
We'll be showing our teeth laughing at that.
So we got tons of stuff to get to. Stay listening.
Yes.
It's time for Buzz's News now.
Yeah.
Buzz Burbank brought to you by Veramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor?
Doctor developed, clinically tested, patented. Veramax, get it at nationwide retailers. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Okay, this is a little scary. Adult video actors and actresses say they would keep working in spite of the latest AIDS scare if someone would hire them. Now, two performers, have turned up HIV positive.
And here they are, right here.
George Michael.
He's one, and
this is Larry Michael, Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
The Michael brothers.
He's got AIDS, too.
Yes. Now, two performers have turned up HIV positive, and the big production houses have shut down indefinitely.
Wow. It's one of those guys. I'm not sure. They both have the same last name. It's George Michael.
No S.
Larry Michael.
And I don't mean no S like no S.
Yeah, but
no S.
Michaels.
Michael, right? Yeah.
Michaels, but one of them is deathly sick. And, and the other one is simply got orange hair.
Don't they have to use protection in all these movies, I thought? I thought they did, too, in movies made after a certain date. But apparently they make the movies with and without, and I don't know, there are different rules.
It's not really regulated.
Not all that well, no. Self-regulated.
No, they're too busy regulating our industry, which they don't need to regulate.
And, of course, I was kidding about that. I don't, well,
of course.
George Michael, let's be honest. I believe you'd have to have sex, you know, in some respect, and that forget that, you know. Cause, I mean, I've his wife is wonderful, Pat Lagman, she's wonderful, but I can't imagine that at this point she still hops into the sack with George.
Very, of course.
And as far as Larry,
yeah,
well, I don't know. Guilty. I don't know. I'm just goofing around. Larry pissed me off today.
Oh, dear.
Well, that's why it
came back from...
Yeah, it was not, you know, I'm sure it was nothing. Larry walked by. Larry's the guy who got the play-by-play job with the Washington Redskins.
He will be your new play-by-play announcer for the Washington Redskins.
Right. And we're proud of Larry. And as I said before, it's the gig I think he's wanted almost his whole life.
Mm-hmm. I'm not particularly proud of it.
Really?
I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm glad he got the job. It's
I see.
It's fine. I'm not proud of him.
Anyway, he walked by and he said, hey, what's happening? And I said, hey, what's happening with you?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so what do you think about what's going on here? You know, me and this station's a cesspool. And I said, you know, things never change around here. It's okay. He says, how long is your contract for? And I'm wondering, you know, why are you asking me how long my contract is for? Yeah, it's only 5 years. Dummy, in case you're wondering. Guaranteed.
Shut up, Larry. Larry, that's why I'm not proud of you. All right?
There we go.
Larry, here's the answer to that question. Our contract is longer than your contract as the Redskins announcer.
Bingo, baby!
Guaranteed that.
Yeah, and you know, if he hadn't asked you that question in that weird little way he did, I'd be proud of him.
That he got the Redskins job?
Absolutely. And there's a chance I could still be proud of him.
Well, is Larry live tonight?
Don, let me ask you one question about Larry.
Yeah.
Can he earn your pride?
He could have, Mike, until he asked that question. And, you know, that's me. I can't help it. Color me in, you know, absolutely.
I realized when Rob wrote that for me, which he did, and he put it in front of me, he was actually, I was supposed to say, I hope Larry can earn my pride.
I see.
Oh, it worked the other
way. I messed it up. Maybe I'm a little tired, too.
I'm just terribly insecure.
I didn't get in at 5 o'clock in the morning. What's my excuse?
I'm terribly insecure. No one should ever walk up and say, how long is the contract? 7 years, dummy, but I'm leaving after 5, and guess what? They want me back for the extra 2. How about you, Larry?
Hey, listen, you know what? You're insecure. You come and you tell me that, and I get insecure about it, too. Knock it off!
Because right away, you know what we think? We think, what does he know?
Yeah.
And that's where we're stupid. Like what? They're going to fire us, and they're going to tell Larry?
Larry, come on in here. We have a meeting with you.
Hey, Larry, hi. It's Mel. Come up to the office. I want to talk to you for a second.
Yes, Mr. Carmerson?
We're going to fire Don and Mike. Go down and break the news to Don. Here's what you do when you see him on the hall today. Ask him, geez, how long his contract is for?
You know, see, what we're doing with all this talk is we're asking Larry in a way to reassure us.
Yes.
That's even more pathetic.
I don't need reassurance from Larry, Michael.
Didn't mean anything by it. What do you mean? Why are you overacting? That's what I want from Larry.
Where's he at? Where's he at? Bring him in here. Isn't he doing a show tonight?
Best of Michael, isn't it?
Oh, really? He's not doing his Redskins show tonight?
Anyway.
Oh, wow.
How about this lame-ass analysis?
Yeah. Okay. That's exactly what it is, Larry.
All right, Larry.
Is he at a dinner date?
Oh, that's right. He told me he's going to dinner with Snyder tonight.
Oh, that's right. He is.
What's for dinner? Rump roast.
There you go.
Hindquarters.
All wrapped up in a nice package.
Well, these two HIV-positive actors, one male...
And if you get to the middle of the rump roast, there's a contract there.
Hello!
These two actors, one male and one female, have been with 65 other actors in the course of their work.
Have they named these people yet?
Yeah, they have. As a matter of fact, I had it a little further down in the story. Let's see if we can find the name. It'll turn up here.
I got a name.
You have a question.
Oh.
I know we can help you, too. I want you to pick up the phone and give us a try.
Esther Roll.
Call it.
That's horrible. Bring her name into the story.
Now. Tell them, Esther, thank you. I'm not proud of you.
The guy is Darren James. We told you about him last week. And now the woman who is also tested HIV positive, her name is Laura Rocks.
I haven't heard of him.
No.
Yeah, but apparently,
Darren James, apparently a big deal.
Makes
a lot of movies.
R-O-X-X?
R-O-X-X, exactly.
Mm.
Familiar?
Interesting.
Recognize the name?
No, Buzz. No reason I would recognize the name Laura Rocks.
Just wondered.
We've probably all seen them. We just didn't even know. We just didn't put their names with their bodies.
Didn't bother to learn. About 80 X-rated stars went to get blood tests Friday at the industry clinic in California. As always, they'll be tested every 3 weeks.
You know what disturbs me about this story?
What?
Is I thought that these people were the kind of people that get tested all the
they
time.
They do. They have to.
But then you hear this story comes out, then they're all going to get tested. Well, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, it does, especially if this guy had some activity off the set. After a certain period of time, he's going to turn up positive if he's tested every 3 weeks. And apparently that day has come. In the meantime...
And that guy's name is?
The first message is... Hey, Rob. This is Robert the Mailman.
In the meantime, no paychecks. No paychecks for these actors, and porn legend Jenna Jameson is asking you to pitch in. She started a fund to help her unemployed co-workers keep food on the table.
Hi, baby.
Jenna.
Hi, baby. Did you miss me? Hi, baby.
Jenna, by the way, has worked with Laura Rocks, who's the HIV-positive female. The guy, as we mentioned, is Darren James.
Hi, baby.
And Buzz, I'm only quoting the video you gave me, yeah. Virtual Jenna.
Ah, that's from that video.
Hi, baby.
Somebody stole my copy.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want mine, Mike. You don't want mine.
No, I don't.
Mine looks like a CSI crime scene.
No, thank you.
I got your fresh one in a foil wrapper.
Thank you.
The good news is Angelina Jolie is offering this pledge that she'll keep taking off her clothes in the movies until the day she turns 40.
How about this pledge? Yeah. No more movies. Just get naked.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. I thought you were going to, like, veto her completely.
No, I mean, unless the movie is just Angelina Jolie naked.
Mm-hmm.
And for an hour,
I like
just
Angelina
posing.
Jolie. I like her.
I do, too.
I like her acting and getting naked.
Nutty, but
I want
sexy.
Both. Yeah. I want both.
Yeah. I don't.
But she's quirky.
Yeah.
She was quirky in that Pushing Tin movie.
Love
I like
quirky.
Her in that.
Yeah, I don't like her.
That's fine.
But I like her body.
Oh, yeah.
She's no Laura Rocks.
You ever see Gia? Is it Gia or Gia?
I don't
Gia,
know.
Gia, I think.
Gia, I guess.
Never seen it.
You have to see Gia.
Great car.
You have to see it. It's about
it's
a model.
Kia, Buzz. It's Kia, not Gia.
I see.
Is it, Rob, do you know, is it Gia or Gia?
I think it's pronounced Leah.
Thank you.
No, that's Lisa.
Don, if that comes on.
Lisa Remedy.
If that comes to a cable near you, you got to look at it.
Yeah, the 28-year-old says she would go beyond 40 for movie nudity if it weren't for her adopted son.
Holly Jolie Christmas.
I'd like to.
Angelina Jolie.
Having, quoting Angelina, I'm okay till my son's a teenager. I'll have to handle it then.
And to quote your wife to you years ago, you're just not Jolie enough.
And again, this is what it's all about with me, with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
It's the BBF, the Billy Bob factor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So much time with him.
No, you always bring that up and you ruin Angelina Jolie for me.
She's got the vial of blood around her now.
You ruin it.
Not anymore.
I know. But
that's why God made soap and water.
But still, she was.
You know what? Here, I'll snap everybody out of that. Remember the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Remember her at the Academy Awards?
Looked clean to me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
She got all cleaned up like that.
The best looking woman. I think she was the best. She had the best looking body at the Academy Awards.
And to quote more of what you want to hear from Angelina Jolie, nudity is not something I'm shy about. She is nude in the new Ethan Hawke movie, Taking Lives.
Oh.
I guess I'm for that. I guess what I don't want to do is sit. And I'm basing this on the Tomb Raider movies.
Oh. Yeah, Lara Croft.
She's got the bad accent, and she's like killing guys when she's driving on her, what do you call it?
Jet ski.
Yeah, thank you, jet ski. Yeah.
And isn't she John Voight's daughter?
Yes, she is.
Yes, she's John Voight.
She hates John Voight.
But you see, that just, she's nutty.
What's the problem? She's hot.
That can be a good thing.
But keep in mind,
what are we worried about all this Billy Bob, John Voight? It's her.
Nutty but hot is a great combination.
The Voight stuff doesn't bother me. The Billy Bob stuff does.
Well, here's the deal. She gets a free pass because of the John Voight, because they're both nuts.
Yeah.
Everybody knows they're nuts. So she's kooky. She's kooky and sexy. She's a sexy nut.
Sexy bird.
Hello, baby bird.
Anaconda.
Yeah, that on a baby monitor.
Another great movie.
Did you?
Yeah.
You what?
What?
When that was on, and we had baby monitors, and my in-laws, not my in-laws, my sister and her husband were watching it, and I went up to bed, and I knew they were watching it, and I did the John Voight voice and got on there, and they came through the monitor.
Oh, the baby monitor.
Hello, baby bird. And they laughed much like that, because there's a lot more drinking going on.
Anaconda is a great, you look at it and you think it's like the worst, cheapest made movie,
yeah.
But it's as good as, what is the one that had, is it Kevin Bacon? Is it Tremors? Tremors?
Snake Underground, yeah.
That movie still kicks ass, the original Tremors. But you can't like watch it on USA, you have to watch it on HBO where it's uncut.
Yeah, it has scary moments.
Same with Anaconda, that Anaconda is kind of like a cheat. Isn't Ice-T in that?
That one also.
Yeah, but Anaconda is an outstanding movie.
Except for the special effects, which do look a little bit like a Listerine commercial.
Yeah.
You know, when the Listerine bottle's like swinging on vines.
I know.
You know, so the Anaconda kind of goes,
The man who was hired to bring McDonald's back from the dead is dead. McDonald's CEO is dead from a heart attack at age 60.
Ironic.
Jim Cantalupo had been with the company for a little over a year, and here's the morale builder. He died at the McManager's meeting in Florida.
Irony.
The company's been troubled recently by diet awareness, mad cow disease, a saturated burger market, and complaints about poor service. Now this.
Oh, what was the guy's name?
Jim Cantalupo.
Friends?
If I could speak candidly to all of the Cantalupos, Jim was a great guy. What killed him, something kills a lot of people in our society, that even though they're on radio stations throughout America where McDonald's advertises, here in the Washington, D.C. area, for almost 20 years, McDonald's has refused to advertise on the Don and Mike Show.
All they would have to do is change that policy.
He'd be alive today, Mike.
And I would be able to pull up to the drive-thru window and say, supersize it, baby bird.
Think about that, all you cantaloupes out there.
That's right.
What was his name again?
Jim Cantalupo.
All you cantaloupos.
Maybe this will change the policy. I certainly don't
they should think about
this
it.
To have to happen.
Right.
Right.
Again.
Sorry it had to come to that.
But, you know.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't think it'll ever change.
No.
I think there'll be bodies strewn all over the place, and the policy will remain the same.
We can offer
no
protection.
Advertising on our show. They won't advertise on our show.
This won't happen. Certainly won't happen now.
You may not like Fox very much for this. The network's making contingency plans in case the folks who voiced The Simpsons don't come back to work.
Listen, there's not a chance, Buzz, that this is going to happen. And I'll tell you why. True or not, real to me this bad, man. Isn't The Simpsons the biggest money-making TV show in the history of Fox?
It's certainly been on longer. It's like, their trademark show.
And I don't mean Fox TV. I mean like 20th century Fox.
You know, really, I'm ready. Pick me. Pick me until I bleed.
To do voices?
I know, I'm ready to be a scab.
Mm-hmm. You could do it.
I could do Homer. I could do Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple other. I probably do Mo.
Yes.
I could do
Barney.
I do pretty good Barney. I do Mr. Burns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you do an outstanding Mr. Burns.
I mean,
here's your audition. Go ahead, do Mr. Burns right now.
Smithies. That's right. Of course, something gay, no doubt.
Exactly, sir.
There you go. And Buzz does this.
Smithers, yeah. There you go.
That's stupid. I'm ready to walk the picket line right now. And I'll be ready to do Grandpa Simpson as well.
That's right, at Moe's Bar.
Yeah,
I'll do that for you right now, okay, Homer?
That's
what I just want to say. No! Stupid. Stupid scabs.
As we told you recently, the actors are holding out on more work until they get a raise. The Fox Network does not want to give them as much as they requested.
I will do it for $10 an episode.
The actors have been out for a month already, delaying the production of most of next season.
Eight.
But Fox has all the time in the world.
You're going the wrong way. You just said you do eight.
Oh, $8.
I'm not a good negotiator.
go 12.
Yeah.
$12 an hour. No,
episode.
I'll do it for five.
$5 an episode.
Hello, it's Homer Simpson. $5 for me. And Grandpa.
Ammo. Anyway,
Mr. Burns. Montgomery Burns working for $5.
They'll sign all those people because that's a money-making machine for Fox, and everybody loves The Simpsons.
I just want to say this. If they don't, and the show has to go on, because really, it's a beloved show, someone's got to pick up the slack.
That's right.
I'm there. I'm there for them. And I'd love to make it happen.
Well, what if they wanted to go in a different direction, though?
You mean as far as more money?
No. Let's say they didn't want a guy who sounds just like Homer. Well, let's say that they wanted...
Hello?
This man.
Hello, mate.
Oh.
Simpson.
No! Yeah, he gave you what you were looking for, though.
Do it one time clear with your British accent. Go ahead.
I'm Homer Simpson, the real deal.
And what's the name of your lobster?
Right. You know what maybe they'll do is they'll bring Joe in as like the British cousin.
Yeah. Now you've ruined my fun.
Oh, you don't like that?
Cousin.
It'd be like Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch. So,
and then we're burned in our cars alive.
All right. Bye, Jordan.
Good day.
Bye. Good day to you, sir.
Good day.
I think you're right, Don, about everybody coming back, but right now Fox sort of has the upper hand in negotiations. They have all the time in the world. Since Fox has baseball through October and seven other new episodes for next year already on the shelf.
I love their coverage on baseball.
Fox is also considering moving that 70s. That'll help get you hired.
Yep.
Fox is also considering moving that 70s show to the Simpsons time slot if it's not settled by then.
That sucks.
Or they could set a new precedent and actually show a rerun.
I'm ready to smooch like Larry Michael.
A judge has given permission for Michael Jackson's lawyers to talk with the people testifying for the grand jury. The lawyers are not allowed to ask the witnesses what's been said in the grand jury hearing.
Thank you,
they're not allowed to bully the witnesses. Jacko's lawyers are allowed to
bully.
They are allowed to ask the witnesses what they know about Michael. On another front, Michael Jackson won't be going to Africa as planned since he no longer has a valid passport.
I think it's he's no longer black.
This comes to, as a great disappointment to the people of Namibia who want to honor Michael for the money he's raised to fight AIDS. But their hopes were built up falsely by a travel agency that said it was associated with Jackson when really it wasn't.
I won't be coming. Bye.
Quoting the assistant to Namibia's president, if he does come, he is welcome here.
Buzz, what's this? We got a break right now.
The possibility that we're being misled about Michael Jackson's accuser.
Oh, that young man? That trustworthy young man?
Mm-hmm.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back. Bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bam, 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 bam.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Mike. Welcome.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Thanks for listening, Chief. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's next, Slick?
Well, we were discussing the possibility that we're reluctant to acknowledge, and that is that we're being misled about Michael Jackson's accuser.
You're right, Chief.
Oh, no.
The New York Daily News has an exclusive story today about some surveillance on the boy who has cancer.
Oh, boy, brother.
Today, the boy who could put Michael away for 20 years totes rifles as he climbs 8-foot walls at a military camp. The rest of the time, he lives in a new condo on L.A.'s west side, and his mom's driving a new car. A local TV reporter spotted them shopping and buying and socializing. This is not what we were told. Remember the comedy club owner who said, quote, "They're poor, simple people. He has only one kidney, and it's failing. His face is swollen. It breaks your heart. The kid is not doing very good," end quote.
It sounds like you'd be talking about me. I mean, I really only have one kidney.
That's true.
Yeah, your face isn't swollen.
Well, look, I'm fat. My face is swollen, and Michael Jackson abused me.
And it tears your heart out.
Yeah, and it tears my heart out.
Yeah, but he gave you a lot of wine, at least, before he did.
Jesus used Mike.
In a can. Attention, OJ and other clients. Mr. Johnny Cochran is going to be all right. The flashy lawyer has cut back his workload while he recovers from undisclosed neurological condition.
Mr. Johnny, okay, thank you.
Johnny Shakes Cochran.
He's okay. The family won't say anything beyond what I've just said, except that his condition is not life-threatening and that he is expected to make a full recovery.
Call me if his condition worsens.
I will.
My man, J.C. His two J.C.'s.
Hey.
Now, who's hotter? Jesus Christ or Johnny Cochran? Right now, you gotta go with J.C. He's
absolutely
still in the top
JC
10.
Is, yeah. So, you mean you gotta go with Jesus Christ?
Yeah, because his movie's
they're
still
both
in the top
JC.
10. Still in the top 10.
Both their phones ring a lot. In other celebrity news.
Do you think it, hey, Robbie, give me the phone ring for a second. Do you ever think someone's got like on the speed dial and they figure out?
Oh, yeah.
Hello? No, this is Johnny Cochran. No. No, hold on. I'll give you his number. Hold on.
Hello. This is Jesus Christ.
There's probably a lot of that.
Hey, man, they're all, you know, all part of the big three. The big three, the JCs.
And Mike, some might say,
Rob, you're not going to leave out Joe Cocker.
Oh, I thought then four.
Who?
Johnny Carson.
Oh, yes. Hello.
But, Rob, would it be so out of the ordinary? How would you feel if the phone answer was, hello, you have reached the office of Jesus Christ. I surely am not here right now. I'm watching Kwame do a commercial for KFC, so leave the message at the beep. Unless you're Rob Spiewak, I got news for you. Going straight to hell because Jesus am a black man.
Oh, my. Uh-huh.
What would you do?
I don't know.
What would you do?
In other celebrity news,
if the water ain't fine, turn it into wine.
I like that.
Eminem is bad in bed, according to his ex-mistress. Quoting her bitterness, he didn't know how to excite a woman. He was like a little virgin boy when I met him. A lot of the stuff he raps about is bull. Now, 30-year-old Keisha Alvarez of Brazil says she dated him for 16 months, four years ago. She says their lovemaking was disappointing, partly because of his lack of size and stamina. quoting again, it was over in 20 seconds.
Shut up!
Hey, come on.
What's wrong with that?
Oh, she's not finished. She also questions M's sexuality. The final quote, he's very homophobic. I think he protests too much.
That's the perfect haha.
Madonna likes the mysticism, but she's lost a friend over her religion. Madonna's all over this thing called Kabbalah. It centers around Jewish mysticism. Longtime best friend and actress Debbie Mazar, you'd know her if you saw her, buy into it.
I know the name.
Dark hair.
I know the name from reading the name.
Right. Yeah, she's been on a couple of TV series.
I like the mysticism.
I can't name them. But the young Britney Spears is very into Kabbalah, and now she has replaced Debbie Mazar as Madonna's best bud.
That's interesting, and somehow it excites me that Britney and Madonna are just hanging out together. I like it. I'd like to see pictures of it.
Power 95. Maze Patrol lines open for your convenience at 3:08.
Where's the Madonna part?
Okay, I think it's coming up.
In 3 years, she's gone. And I got the motion, and together we'll be causing such a commotion that the authorities will love to run us out of town. Madonna from Power 95.
The Maze.
95 with the Maze. Hi, who's here?
Oh.
I didn't tell you.
Oh.
Why? Do I know you?
Yes, you do.
Have I seen you before?
Oh, yes. Many times.
Many times?
Go through the names,
Maze.
Go through the names.
I don't recognize a voice.
Don't recognize.
Okay. Is this Marianne?
No.
No.
Have I had fun with you within the past 2 months?
Yes.
Okay, that cuts it down to 1,000.
Cuts it down to 1,000?
Are you Michelle?
No.
Oh, God.
Are you Katie?
No.
Oh, man.
And it's really, those are all the girls that he slept with and killed and buried their bodies out in a forest somewhere near this radio station in Kalamazoo.
That's a legend.
How did you get out of the crawl space?
Hello there.
Are you Annette?
Yes.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm waiting for you.
Because of you, I'll be right over.
Okay, can you name the next break? I can.
I've forgotten.
It's ZZ Top.
Yep. Yes, I've got my top hat on and I'm doing all this.
Power 95 with the Maze getting ready to step out in style. Got my clean shirt on, knee shoes, silk suit, black tie. My diamond ring is on, grab my top hat and coat and my white gloves. Ladies come running as fast as they can because they're crazy about a tough dressed man. ZZ Top and high class from Power 95.
Shut up!
The Maze. The worst disc jockey of all time.
Well, someone's finally documented it. Jefferson Starship's We Built This City has been named the worst song ever recorded.
That's right.
According to Blender Magazine.
Now, this is something I'm glad you have in the news, Buzz. I was going to bring it up today. We didn't have time. The list is, of course, it's subjective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are millions of songs I put in front of that.
Really? Well,
that's a pretty bad one. I put it on the list.
I like We Built This City on Rock and Roll.
Where's the paper, right?
That's back when we were playing. Don, that is back when we were playing a lot of garbage.
I know.
Well, and that was a part of it.
It was a breath of fresh air. It was.
It tops the list of the Music Magazine's worst 50 songs ever, which will be out nationwide in a week.
All right, here's the top 10.
All right.
Okay. Number 10, worst of all time, is Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah, I hate that song.
Number 9 is American Life by Madonna, which I kind of like. Number 8 is Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy. I agree.
But it's
like a bad novelty, right?
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A novelty song. Number 7, I know you're with me on this one. Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Oh, my God, that should be number 1.
Number 6, now, come on, you know I'm gay for Huey Lewis, yeah. But The Heart of Rock and Roll.
What?
They have that as the 6th worst song.
They don't like rock and roll.
Number 5, Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah, that's legit.
Number 4, I disagree. Limp Bizkit, Roland. I like Roland. I'm sorry, I like that.
I like Roland also.
There are a couple of surprising entries on.
Number 3, I also like Wang Chung. Everybody Have Fun Tonight.
Yeah, oh, they're out of their
that's
minds.
That's a fun record. Yeah.
Number 2.
I'm sorry, they really are. I mean, these are songs that in the 80s were just such a departure from all the other garbage we were playing.
Number 2 is Achy Breaky Heart. And then number 1 is We Built the City. Other songs, Mike, that made the list of the worst songs ever. The Beatles, Obladi Oblada, R.E.M., Shiny Happy People, John Mayer, Your Body is a Wonderland, and hold on, let me see.
Simon and Garfunkel's Sounds of Silence.
Right. Right Said Fred, I'm Too Sexy, that's in the top 50 worst ever.
Mm-hmm.
However, Who Let the Dogs Out is not. The Macarena. Figure. Macarena is not.
Mm-hmm. About Sounds of Silence, the magazine writes, if Fraser Crane wrote a song, this would be it. About Built This City, Blender says, quote, it purports to be anti-commercial, but reeks of 80s corporate rock commercialism. It's a reflection of what nearly killed music in the 80s, end quote.
But not, but I can tell you what killed the 80s.
Yeah.
Taco.
But not only...
Hey, you used to love that song.
I did not!
Yes, you did. But not only what, Robbie?
I liked it, but I was 10.
Not only old songs, they have as the all-time 11th worst song of all time... Clay Aiken's Invisible.
I've never heard it.
Hmm. It's like it's a record that's played what, like by Wash FM or something,
I guess,
like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the purpose of a list is to make people talk about it.
I hope everybody still buys my records.
Hey, Clay.
Thank
sports.
You. Hi, Don. How are you?
You know I'm a Clay maniac.
I understand that. Thank you so much. And hello, Buzz Burbank.
Hello, Clay.
I hope you all buy my records.
Mark McGuire has weighed in on baseball's steroid controversy now that he's retired. Quoting Mark, well, I'm really not in touch with any of that stuff because I usually hear it from friends and stuff, and I tell them I really don't want to hear about all that stuff. I don't really have any opinion on any of that stuff. It's just very unfortunate, end quote.
Dude, listen, it's okay. You took the stuff, you hit the 66, the 70, whatever you hit. It's okay.
And finally, a tip for all you drinkers out there. When choosing a designated driver, try to pick someone who's sober.
I got hiccups. In
Indianapolis, police say a college student was run over by his designated driver. The 24-year-old asked his girlfriend to drive after they left a bar, but she was as sloshed as he was, three times the legal limit. She backed up the car to pick him up, but ran over him and parked on top of him instead. That's where police found the late student.
Who are these people?
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you,
funny. No, that's it. No.
We got to go back with the new episode tomorrow.
Thank you both for listening, and hello. Good day to you, sir.
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 You. Now get me coffee stat. I want to stay up all night. All night long I want to stay up. All right.
Wiggle it.
Bye.
Oh, that's, I gotta come up with that. Then bye.
Mine was wiggling.
I'm so tired.
I like it.
You're just tired. That's it.
Tired.
Hold
okay, you want to do it again, Mike?
All right.
You're outside, okay. Though.
I don't, Rob, I don't care.
Snakes and ice.
Wiggle it. Well, no, see, I stole yours.
Well, that's good, because I came up with another one.
Funny.
I know. One more time.
Just wait for the tape to cue.
Here we go.
Okay, one more time.
All right.
Now, what do I want to say? It's got to be something that's funny.
I'm going to steal it from another person. I'm using something somebody else has used.
Okay.
The piano has been drinking. Larry doesn't have any.
Okay. Bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show. WKFC.